Don and Mike Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs, security, show business?
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show to do.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
Well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. Complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret sound. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. Here's our staff announcer to tell you more.
Hi, I'm Pete Johnson. You may know me as the wacky engineer from the Don and Mike show. Do you like breath? How about some nice, fresh cooters? Would you get a flash looking at some dash? Then join Don and Mike in their Las Vegas style show. The raunchy fun happens Friday, May 11th at the Fabled State Theater in Portland, Maine. You gotta be 21 to get in. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Like DNA, like D&D, come to the show. Condoms optional. For the Don and Mike show, I'm Pete Johnson.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
Now go F yourself.
Don't miss it. Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, is this the ex?
Yeah.
Hi, baby.
Hey.
Was she difficult to communicate with?
Ha, ha, ha. Understatement.
Tell me why you left her.
Nuts, chaos, cheater, you name it.
Heather, let me ask you.
There was some abuse.
Yeah.
Steve, did you abuse her?
Oh, sure. Not enough.
No, come on.
Oh, wrong answer, Steve.
Come on.
That answer, Steve.
The Don and Mike Show.
I have a message for all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer. Okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You said at first we would never part. Then drove a spike like Texas through my heart. You're the biggest cowgirl bitch I've ever seen. Stuffed into your too tight blue rag machine. Well, I thought of every word from A to Z. But you put the in country.
The son of a beach.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be? Than right here, right now.
I was just trying out a new theme song there.
I like it.
Hold on, hold off on that. Let's hear a little more of that new theme.
Excellent. That's a good thing.
You'll hear that on all the big country stations, unedited.
Well, why don't we roll with this, ladies and gentlemen? Let me be the first to introduce the man who wrote this song. Fired it too. Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
You know, Phil just doesn't get all this Kentucky Derby hype,
doesn't he?
No. Up to now, he thought that a mint julep was something that had to do with kosher chapstick.
Mint. Oh, I get it. Mint julep.
Right.
Okay.
Get it?
There you go.
I'm
with you, Rob.
It's a grand Kentucky fun.
Yeah.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. J.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Let's hear some more of this.
Would you screw my ex-best friend behind my back?
Yeah. Right.
Permanent. You're the meanest brawn I ever seen.
Sing it, boy.
And you ain't worth the gas from a can of beans.
No way.
Thought of every word from A to B.
All right, give me that hook now.
But you.
Yeah.
And country, yeah.
A good little harmony. Oh, yeah.
All right, Robbie, what's your open there?
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. J.J. McKay under the covers and all the ships at sea. Hey, you loved them last night in the live Survivor Studio Orchestra. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right. Hello, Robbie, and thank you for listening, everybody. New episode of Don and Mike Show, and it is a Friday show. Friday on May the 4th. Hey, can you find me the name of those guys? Some guys that came to our live show in Reno last weekend.
It's not the Fun Zones, is it?
No, it's not. They're from Wichita, Mike.
Ah, of course.
But anyway, I like giving a young artist a break on national radio, and that song, I think he's got number one written all over. You put the CU in Toledo and country, and it's by The Saddle Tramps.
The Saddle Tramps.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
The Saddle Tramps. So listen, hello, and welcome to the show, everybody. And yes, I believe that the first thing we have to talk about today is that a ridiculous car wreck abortion of television last night that was the...
How did it go?
The Survivor finale.
How was it?
It sucked.
It did. You know, I recorded it, and I started to watch
recorded
it.
Recorded it also.
I recorded it also, and then I said, nah.
No.
I'm not, you know, 2 hours... You know, I know, you know, my wife told me as soon as I came home.
But the Tina one?
Yeah, the Tina one, and it was just, you know, I just couldn't make it on time.
No, it just couldn't suck enough. And I know what you were looking for was at the end when they all got together.
Yeah.
The real mean-spiritedness coming out.
Right.
And it never came to life.
Ooh. The only thing Laura said to me about it was that she didn't like the way it was structured at the end. Now, and I didn't pursue it because I was going to ask you, what was she complaining about?
Let me tell you all the things that were wrong with Survivor.
Good.
Besides the fact that the episode last night just sucked, the final episode.
Right.
When they get to Los Angeles, where they're going to reveal who the survivor is, this is allegedly being done live. Okay, well, here's the first faux pas that I noticed. They show that prick Jeff Probst in a helicopter flying over Los Angeles to the CBS television city. Well, that was at 10 o'clock East Coast time, which would mean it was 7 o'clock West Coast time.
Right.
And as we all know, at 7 o'clock in the evening,
yes,
it ain't pitch dark outside.
Not by a long shot.
Okay.
You got a good hour of lots of daylight.
So it's obvious that part was jived. That they had faked him flying into the studio at the last second.
Right.
I also hated the fact that Bryant Gumbel appeared like... Okay, this is very similar to if you've ever seen Kiss in Concert.
Okay.
When Ace Frehley's drums come up out of the bowels of the stage,
right,
and there's all this steam and what's the hot, the cold ice? Well, what is it?
Dry ice.
Yeah.
Smoke machines.
Right.
This is how.
That's how they did it.
Yes. This is
Bryant Gumbel appears.
I'm glad I have it on tape.
He appears from the middle of the stage and they lift him up on this pedestal and it's Bryant Gumbel. I hated the fact that there was a live orchestra.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you had the girl with the giant harp, and you had the guy playing the big thing like in the
a musical, an oboe?
No. What's the throat lozenge where the
Ricola.
Dudes,
Ricola.
Yeah. You know those dudes?
Ricola.
You know those dudes up on the Swiss Alp, and they got that big long ass.
Yeah, they're Swiss horns.
Tube. Yeah. That big thing that's
right.
Okay, well they got a guy who's playing one of those.
And even worse, three female vocalists having to do like the tribal sounds.
And they have these.
The Raylettes.
You know, when Ray Charles would come out, they'd have the Raylettes.
Right.
So they decided they needed a lot more. Is that from the first Survivor?
Apparently.
Yeah. And then what really pissed me off was when they got down to the final vote, that it's either going to be Colby or Tina.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay? And Jeff Probst goes on and on about how no one knows what is in this jar. No one has touched this jar.
Right.
This jar has been in security mm-hmm. until right now on live television.
Right.
And then he pulls out the votes, and of course, they go like this. Tina. Colby. Tina. Colby.
Coincidence.
Tina. Colby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next vote will decide who the survivor is. Now, I don't mind that they do it like that, and they've done it like that on every goddamn episode.
No, I'm really glad I didn't watch it.
But he makes a point of saying, no one has touched this jar.
Why? Right.
This jar has been locked. It's been under security guard.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, what are the odds of it working out that way, that it couldn't be Colby, 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 Colby?
Yeah, it's impossible, and they do it like that on every single episode. Mm-hmm. You know that they stage it like that anyway.
Right, exactly.
It sucked.
It insulted the intelligence, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and after the show was over, then when they had the hour follow-up mm-hmm. that was hosted by Brian Gumbel, who was lifted out of the stage.
Yeah, now, was there any venom on the follow-up?
None.
No.
It was a love fest.
Yeah, they all took the high ground, which is not what America wants.
No, they all said...
those quotes.
They all said how much they love each other and how this will be an experience.
How did Elizabeth look?
Better.
How did Jerry look? Really?
Yeah. I mean, not
most
great.
Importantly, how did Roger look?
Dreamy. Dreamy. What, did I get it wrong about who plays the drums in Kiss? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, who plays the drums?
Peter Criss.
Oh, Peter. All right. Peter Criss from Kiss.
I love you guys to death. Please, I'm a huge Kiss fan. Keep your facts straight.
You know, the Kiss Army, Don.
I know.
Still very, very active.
I was a member of the Kiss Army, okay?
It's just like the Marine Corps. Once a member, always a member.
All right. Sorry about that.
Ace Frehley rules. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I love your show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm partial to Paul Stanley myself.
The password is priorities. What else was great last night is, did you notice that every survivor was wearing the same clothes they wore on the island?
Like, yeah.
I mean, it was so, they had them all laundered and pressed, but
were they a little tighter?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did they all look a little better fed?
Yes, they did. They looked, definitely they looked different than they did in the last episode.
Especially the Chef Roger, who had his hair dyed Elvis black.
Yeah.
And it was because when they
No, the Roger is the is Kentucky
sorry.
Joe.
Right. Keith, Chef Keith, who dyed his hair.
Right. Who had obviously shaved his beard off.
Right.
And dyed his hair. His hair kind of looked like Stevie Van Zandt from, from The Sopranos.
Jet black.
Yeah, he had the big pompadour happening up front.
Now, he would be the guy that I would think would be the most positively impacted by the publicity. If he is a chef, he could obviously open up a restaurant.
He already has a cookbook.
Yes, he does.
Sure.
All right. It sucked.
And when I started to really watch it, I'm thinking, well, now, why didn't they vote Tina off?
I don't know if you remember this, but I mean, months ago, it seems like you had said Tina was not only going to win, but your favorite to win.
Yeah, I picked her to win, but as they went through last night, when it came down to those three, when it came down to Colby and to Keith and to Tina, I wonder why, because Colby won the immunity again.
Right.
You know, like he always does.
Well, I mean, and that's why the only satisfaction I would have derived out of seeing that would be that Colby didn't win.
So,
you know, Survivor.
Right.
Was he bitter at all when he lost?
But he's got a deal with Calvin Klein already or some crap like that.
Okay.
See, what I don't get is that Colby has the swing vote. So
right.
Colby decides out of the three of them who's left. Now, and this is what I didn't get.
Okay, you're right.
And this shows how stupid Colby is. If it was Colby against Keith,
Colby walks away with it.
Right. Even as much of a swinging dick as Colby is.
Well, then what Colby really did was in all sincerity, honor his agreement with Tina
that
he had had from the very, very beginning.
Colby's a stand-up guy.
Was there any commentary about that he had honored his agreement with her, and that's why he didn't pick Keith?
I don't remember hearing it.
Tina thanked him. She said it wouldn't have been possible for her to win without Colby, and she's right. That's
right.
The closest acknowledgement we got.
And see, if Colby was smart, he would have voted Tina off, because then he would have guaranteed he would have won, because no one would vote for the chef who couldn't cook rice.
Right. Well, I wrote him a letter, the producer, Mark Burnett.
Oh, good.
And, I hope they implement my idea.
Which one?
On the next one, Mountain Lions.
Oh, yeah.
Mountain lions. Hungry mountain lions. Just, I mean, whenever, real ones. Whenever, whenever things are, like, really quiet in the camp, like when they have that night photography.
Right.
That's when you just bring up a trailer with, two or three mountain lions in there and just let them go. You know, like the Tom Green commercial?
Right.
Where he's doing for Right Guard?
Yeah.
You do that. You know, see who's the survivor then. Sure, you lose some people, but, you know, the ratings will go up.
There's so many things about that show that pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that ridiculous, ugly SUV was once again the star of the show last night. You know, because Colby won a second one of those dumbass backwards clown cars that they were giving away.
The Aztec. Yeah.
Yes, the Aztec. The Aztec.
Do you see how excited it was? You think he was faking that enthusiasm about that car?
No.
That car that looks like a train wreck? It looks like seriously it got cut in half by another vehicle?
No, he loves that car. That car is him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with you, Buzz. It's just the whole thing just got me mad.
Rightfully so.
And then I got up today, and they're starting to hype already for the next one that's going to be in Africa. Yeah. And the story that, I refuse to believe that they're going to do a celebrity survivor, because the celebrities are pampered. They're used to having their asses kissed.
Right.
And they mentioned, of course, the whore of CBS, our friend Kevin James.
No.
Ray Romano.
Ray wants in.
That's not going to work.
And do you believe this? They said that Kate Hudson, right? Goldie Hawn's daughter from Almost Famous.
Right.
The story is that she waited in line for 1 hour just to audition to be on Celebrity Survivor.
And Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, and Kobe Bryant of the Lakers.
Yeah. That is jive to the extent that nothing ever has been jive before. That's sickeningly jive.
Last night's show was jive. Yeah, listen, the idea of a celebrity survivor would be great if they really did it like they treated all of these people. But you know that there's no way that Ray Romano is going to go live on an island.
Hey, where's our camp?
And have to eat rice for a month.
Oh, come on. What are we doing here? Look at this. I don't have any more rice.
And, Kobe Bryant's going to go out and kill a pig with his hands.
Right.
And, the only one I believe it would do is Kevin James, because, frankly, we know Kevin. He would stand in the middle of Times Square and take a dump if CBS told him to, because he's the whipping boy.
If it's really Celebrity Survivor, I mean, if this is, if you really want to make it life and death, have people that are near death. Bob Hope on Celebrity Survivor. put him in the...
Milton Berle.
Put him in the Australian Outback and see who dies first.
Hello? But it was just
a shot of Bob.
It was about as disappointing and...
Bob up to that cliff where they dove off the cliff.
Oh, I tell you.
Bob, you're going to have... Now, this challenge involves cliff diving.
I don't think I can make it.
I can guarantee that someone would fall in the fire again.
I've got to see who has the reddest eyes.
Absolutely.
Bob would win.
You bring Andy Rooney out there, Andy Rooney would probably be doing real well. There's good, loyal CBS employee.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I believe Colby said that he voted Keith off because he wanted there to be no chance of him getting $1 million.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Did you like that show?
Not a whole lot, but they also said that if there were two people they could both exclude from getting $1 million, it would be Jerry and Keith. So I don't think he even wanted to chance there being a possibility of... He looked at more excited that she won than that he lost.
He is not a dumb guy. He isn't. He is
Colby.
He's, I know he's not the smartest of the group, but I really think he had to give Tina the game by doing that.
Nobody
gets
that.
He had to know that.
Remember his one luxury item he brought when you're talking about
how smart
he is.
The
state flag.
Right.
You're talking about how smart he is. Just
but
remember
he also, was one of the best behind-the-scenes plotters. He was one of the backstabbers. He had to know that if he doesn't kick Keith out, then it's going to be him.
Well, I find it hard to believe he's that chivalrous. I mean, that he's that kind-hearted.
No, he couldn't be that much of an idiot.
He's stupid.
Hold on. Think that's
you're
pure
saying, stupidity?
You're saying he's the smartest guy on Survivor.
No, I'm saying
he's not the smartest guy, but he's not the dumbest guy either.
Okay, there's not. If I'm looking at the pie chart, there's not a lot of space between smartest guy and dumbest guy on Survivor.
But I don't think he was so dumb. I mean, that's if he did that and just did it as an F up, that's beyond dumb. That's like that's like Gavin dumb.
I think they're all gumpish. I really do.
All of the people.
I heard somebody say
that he gave.
Hold on.
That he gave it to Tina.
Hold on. The hotline's ringing. Why would he give $1 million to that old broad?
Hello.
Sugar Bear, you were watching with me, but you weren't paying most attention. He did say that he knew what he was doing when he voted it, and he said that they, when they both went back to camp, when they both were the two left, that they both felt like they won then. He knew he could have won it if he had voted Keith off. He voted Tina off.
Well, no, you know what? I do remember that, but that was... that was the romantic part that I was just zoning out during when
they sign an agreement to where she can't give any of her money to him.
Right.
There's no collusion allowed.
Hey, sweetie, you're talking about that the part where it's just the two of them sitting on the rock and when they had the romantic scenes of just Colby and...
I'm talking about when they're back and doing it live and they asked him why he did that. I mean, and Brian Gumbel said that was a $900,000 nice thing to do or whatever, and he said, I've slept good every night since. He knew what he was doing.
Well, then he's a dope.
He's not a dope because how much
he's an idiot.
And how much is it going to pay him in the endorsements afterwards to be the really nice guy?
Honey, listen,
you know, that's you can't argue that.
But wait,
he's a really good guy if he did that.
But wait a minute. Think about this. The people from the first Survivor were immensely more popular than the people from this Survivor.
True.
And... do you see any of them popping? You know, there's two exceptions. Dick Hatch, who's on the CBS morning show all the time, and Colleen, who has a role in the Rob Schneider movie.
This guy, I predict this guy will be bigger than Richard Hatch. He will be bigger than Colleen, because he's just, you know, they loved him on that show. They loved him on that show.
You want to go on record with that bet?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He will be, you'll see him like, if he's going the modeling route where he's just going to see, you're going to see him in every ad and bet. I don't think that he's going to do things that are beyond his depth.
How about this? About 6 months from now, he's nowhere.
Well, that's way too subjective. I mean, you can't, you know, I don't know whether he's going to be... it like hosting a morning show. I don't think he's got that kind of gift of gab, but he will be. I think you're going to see his face on a lot of things.
I'm saying you won't be able to open up People magazine and see him doing the Got Milk ad, or you're not going to. Although you might see that today, you're not going to see it 3 months from now. You're not going to open GQ and see him doing an underwear ad.
See, where I think he will probably exist will be on some of the, you know, there's so many of those cable channels, and that's what, you know, like the Discovery type of thing, that's where he'd get his gig, the outdoor adventuring. He will be...
Let me know if you want to seriously make a bet about
that. But it's the bet is difficult because the bet could be manipulated. You could tell me if, you know, if he is hosting something on Discovery, well, that's not a happening
network. Well, no, I would say if he has a television show on the Discovery Channel,
right,
3 months, 6 months from now, that I would officially have lost the bet.
Yeah, but that's not even the point, you know, with him. Why did he do it? Because, A, he still has a 50-50 chance of winning $1 million. He almost did. He was only one vote away from winning. B, he comes out smelling like the nicest guy in the world. And if he thinks he has a career after this, then that just adds to it. He's not only nice-looking, but he's the nicest, most gracious loser ever. He hugged her. He looked so great when she lost.
I'm telling you. And I agree, honey. When he hugged her, when he lost, he gave off that vibe like, wow, what a nice guy. But I want to tell you something. As someone who's been an a-hole on the radio for 25 years, you know, our society, we like nice guys for this much. Snap your fingers, and they're gone. We love the a-holes. We love them. We embrace them. We remember them. I'll make the same bet with you, honey. Same bet as I'll make with Mike.
But see, the bet isn't whether or not he's successful or not. The bet is that he didn't do it out of stupidity. He did it...
No. Hold on.
...that he would stand a good chance of losing the money.
No. He is stupid. Because if he had voted...
for Tina, I voted for Keith, the other guy, he would have won the money. Mm-hmm. If it was him against the chef,
right.
But he knew what he was doing. What I'm saying is he knew that he was risking the $1 million when he...
Then he's stupid.
And if the audience knew that, then he turned a lot of people around last night when he did that.
Who risks $1 million? Jesus Christ.
It's a lot of money to walk away from.
Who risks $1 million just so people like you?
If it could either be he's actually nice, which I know is a concept you just can't...
He's not, honey. Trust. Listen, hold on. Please. At least give me this. Do you guys agree that Colby's a slicky boy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really thought he was a slicky boy throughout the entire game. I hated Colby. I hated Colby more than anybody else. I'm amazed that he did that.
And is it not possible that all right, I'll give him this much for being smart. Maybe he's smart enough to try to manipulate people to now think that he's a nice guy, but you've already seen him for the last 3 months being a jerk.
I think he's a nice guy, so he manipulated me.
Oh, okay. You're the target demo for that, honey.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, the ladies love him.
If he's showing something, I'll buy it.
You would not buy anything that Colby endorses.
I think that you are jealous. You don't like nice-looking guys, and that
oh,
has to be...
Oh, please.
Yeah,
hold on.
That's what I think.
I like nice-looking guys. I mean,
you like me.
I'm no fag.
Right.
Yeah.
He likes me, Frida.
I like Mike.
I forgot that. Sorry, Mike.
I like Rob.
Yeah, there's a nice lead.
Okay. You like Buzz?
Yeah.
Well, frankly, Buzz is not as good-looking as you, Mike.
Of course he's not. I mean, and Buzz, that's Buzz's cross to bear.
Yeah.
You're the exception that proves the rule, Mike.
and I know you'll be partying this weekend with Paul Gorgie.
All right. There's another stunningly handsome faggot.
Stunning handsome faggot.
All right, sweetie. All right. I love you.
Goodbye, boo-boo. I love you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. The only thing Colby might be endorsing is cheese, because there's a Colby cheese.
The natural.
New Colby Southwestern Pasta. Taste of Texas with Colby.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oops. Hold on. What am I doing?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, the thing I liked the most about Survivor was the Pepsi commercial every 5 minutes. Hello?
Are you talking about the Britney commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, too. Yeah.
I mean, every time you knew you were guaranteed.
A new one? Was it
I wasn't
new
even
one?
Watching it. As soon as commercials came out, no, it was the Pepsi commercial.
Same old one where she's wearing, like, the suspenders dancing.
Yeah, but...
Oh, my God.
Damn good. That could be a TV show.
Yeah.
Really, I'd watch that TV show every week, just play the same Pepsi commercial 30
hope,
times.
I hope that look stays through the summer, that those real thin suspenders... Just the crossover, the breast.
Yeah, it's nice. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I like it. It's nice.
Hey, Don. Greetings from the Bay Area.
Hello.
San Francisco Bay Area. A quick shout out to you. Thank you for the Las Vegas show in Sacramento.
Oh, well, no problem. Glad you enjoyed it.
Really appreciate it. Well worth the drive in. Quick comment about what Frida said. Are you really in disagreement with her?
Am I what? Am I really what?
Are you really in disagreement?
You really feel Frida's out in left field on this? Because I think she carries about half the population behind her. Do you think that Colby was just this out-and-out idiot that he made himself out to be?
Yes, I think Colby's a dope.
Is it a dope? Do you think he's a dope or do you think he's a slicky boy manipulator?
No. I think he's a slicky boy manipulator, but I think underneath that, there's a large level of just...
So on the
Texas speaking out too loud for itself.
So on this particular issue, you think he did manipulate it to look like a good guy, but that underneath he's just... No, you don't.
No, I don't.
I don't know what do you think? What do you really... I want your position on it.
I hate him. Okay, that's my position.
Now we know.
I hate Colby. I think that Colby... Well, you know, I don't know what I think.
Okay? You haven't formulated your opinion yet.
You know... On one hand, I think, okay, he knew what he was doing. He gave her the money. But then I think he gave her the money because he knew that it would make him look good.
I hated Colby more than any other person on Survivor. Do you think if I had watched this last night, I would have changed my mind based on the way he behaved?
You?
Okay.
Yeah, right. You. You.
Really?
You would have.
It was that.
Well,
he looked that good?
You cry at movies and stuff.
I do. I'm a sensitive guy.
So you would have.
Really?
Yeah. He probably would have won you over.
I didn't like him going into last night, and by the end of the show, I disliked him less. I still would keep my eye on him.
So
but
you
I
still think there's a potential that the guy's just. Super. That this is minute.
Yeah, but it's still $900,000 bucks.
That's what I get to do.
That's
when the dumb aspect comes in.
Right.
That even if you're smart enough to figure out that you're going to manipulate somebody, I guarantee.
No, but I mean, see, I'm saying it's not dumb as much as maybe It was just a, he was just, it was a cool move.
I mean, it's
he gave her $900,000.
It's dumb.
God. Well, it's dumb, but I mean, it's also, if, you know, if you're not doing it for any other reason than you think it's the right thing to do, it's pretty noble.
Oh, it's dumb. No, it's not. Oh, my God. You've fallen right into his,
his evil trap.
Now,
I didn't see it. Remember, I didn't see it.
He's now noble.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If I was to give you any other situation where I said a guy had a chance to make $1 million.
The guy's got a slam dunk for $1 million, and he goes, you know, she deserves it more. I'm going to give it to her. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Stupid. It's stupid.
But I mean, if it's not out of stupidity, there's no other way.
Yeah,
I think he simply stuck to his word. He gave his word that he would keep Tina Ann till the end. He did it, and he took his chances. He lost by one vote.
Yeah, I mean, they had the agreement longer than anybody else on Survivor.
He's noble.
He's a man of his word.
No, I think he's very manipulative, but I think he felt he had to stick to his word on that.
Well,
you know, and that could be dumb or that could be not dumb, depending on your point of view.
Hey, he got a car, too.
Yeah.
He got two cars. He got two of them. Didn't he get two or no? Did she get
no,
one?
No, she got one. He got one.
She got one and he got one. Right.
Brian Gumbel wouldn't do that.
No. See, Brian Gumbel would have taken the money, would have said, he probably would have taken the money and then taken a dump on Tina on TV with a smoke machine.
Since I didn't see it, I'm relying on your opinion. Do you think the guy comes away from this show last night really with that kind of hero bounce? Was it that significant?
Okay.
Was it that clear?
Obviously, I'm the wrong person to ask because I hate Colby. I hate him more after last night than I did during every other week. So ask Buzz, where's Rob?
I don't think America sees him as a hero, but
just as Mr. Nobility.
A decent guy.
Rob, what do you think of Colby after last night?
I think he was trying to manipulate America by being nice, and I think it was a stupid move on his part because I don't think he'll be able to get 900 grand more out of America in endorsement.
I think you agree with him on that.
Yeah. And
I think that's well put. I understand that.
I think that also most of America will fall for it, but I think that the brighter people around here and like those of us discussing it see right through it.
I really wish I'd seen it because, I mean,
you're lucky you didn't see it.
Really, I think he's a slicky boy, though. I think, you know, you say me that I would have reacted, but I don't know about that. I mean, but I'm torn because it is
so stupid. 900,000. He didn't know what he was doing, but I think he's sort of underselling America, and I think he's overestimating himself on how he's going to bounce back.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello,
just me.
Yes, hi.
Hey, yeah, he definitely is a slicky boy, but he knew what he was doing. At one point during the interviews while they were still on the island, he says, hey, I'm not selfish. If I was, I would have picked Keith because I can compete against Keith. So he knew what he was doing. The question is he a dope or does he have a higher purpose, you know, a big contract in the, you know, in the
back? Well, in both cases, he's a dope.
Because he is a dope.
Because he gave away the $1 million, and unlike Mike, I don't think he has a bright future. As being whatever you think, if he's going to get a TV show or get an
actual. No, you know what I think about this guy? I think the reason, I know he won most of the immunity challenges, but I also know that the producers loved this guy while he was on the show. This guy logged more camera time than anybody else, and it's not just because he won the immunity challenges.
But his stupid Indiana Jones hat.
I think that, you know, from a, like, when you're talking about endorsements as far as just doing ads, if he signed up with Calvin Klein, I think he, you know, I found a way to put it on a merchandising level.
Hey,
I think he'll probably make more money. Make more money than Richard Hatch. I think in dollars, I think he will turn
hire a homo to sell their products?
That's a point. But that's what I think. That's how you measure his success. I think he'll make more money out of this than anybody else has made. That's what I think. I'd be willing to bet you on that. I don't know if that'll ever be quantified, but I'd like to make
Hasn't Dick Hatch written a book?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I would think that more people would buy Dick Hatch's book than would buy a Colby book.
I'm not sure.
I would think because Richard Hatch, like him or not, he's got more crap to tell about people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if Colby was to come out and write a tell-all book where he says everything bad about everybody,
you got
to
remember that
he's just doing a flip-flop on this scam that he just pulled last night.
Colby, because he won all those immunity challenges, because he has that, you know, that rap as being the, you know, the guy that was, you know, the Superman on Survivor,
right,
who was able to do everything. He could write a different kind of book, you know, and people might eat that up. You know, you never got, or he may not write a book at all. He may just do TV and endorsements.
He probably can't write.
That's, yeah.
Okay, that's a really good read.
Done.
He probably can't read. Can't read.
Yeah.
Can't write.
It sounds like he's got good people in place, good agents that are going to probably make him some money.
But he's got his Aztec. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, what'd you guys think of Deb? The one who was crying when
Oh, all right. Now, listen, this is another...
That was a good one.
This is another part of it that, you know, this Deb's the one who married her son.
Oh, yeah, she was... You mean the dykey prison guard?
Right, the first one voted off.
Right.
And she's, like, crying about how this is, like, you know, totally turned her life upside down and everything. Well, good. You know, hello?
Turned your life.
Yeah, you signed up to be on the show. You married your stepson.
Did we see Marilyn, our good local friend Marilyn?
Yeah, she was on there.
She was on, but she was not...
She was talking about menopause for a while.
She was not highly profiled, though.
She didn't sing?
No.
Damn.
No, she didn't sing. She looked like she got a good tan, though.
Ah, good.
Nice big tan. She'd been working in the fields or something.
Yeah. Like to see those tan lines.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy, it's Dave Thompson. How are you?
Hi, Dave.
Good. Hey, question for you. What time did they... start the helicopter into Los Angeles? Wasn't it like 10 after 7 West Coast time?
This is covered ground. I said the same thing, that obviously had to be taped.
Yeah, it had to be taped. Okay, thanks. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. And I really, for the listeners that call in, I don't think it's necessary when you're going to ask a question to say question for you. Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I do.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Colby, you know, I think he really knew what he was doing. I think he maybe was trying to appear a magnanimous person.
What?
Well, he was trying to pretend, he was trying to show the jury that he was a really nice guy.
Magnanimous, Mike.
Magnanimous.
Magnanimous.
Magnanimous, absolutely. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and I kind of thought that he was showing the jury that he was this big man and that he probably was overconfident that he was going to win. I mean, remember all of the asides?
I just wish the show had more animals on it.
Just remember all of the asides that he said. He said, oh, I came there to win. I'm dedicated to win.
I bet he ends up being a salesman for Anway.
Yeah. You know, I'm on board with these shows. I'd like to see more shows like The Simpsons. I like the animation.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
You know, the end show there was really interesting with all the people who sort of just hated each other underneath the surface and didn't want to come out and say, I hate you.
Yeah, but there wasn't enough animosity, was there?
It was all sort of like couched in, you know, oh, well, it's all in the past. But
yeah, and that doesn't sell, man. I mean, who wants to see goddamn 8 is enough at the end of Survivor? Who wants to see everybody sitting around and liking each other at the end of Survivor?
You mean you don't watch Touched by an Angel?
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, didn't you love it when Deb was crying at the end?
Yeah, no, that was good. And, she, you know, she brought it on herself.
She's like, oh, nobody likes me, I got voted off. I was like, dude, man, you were a loser. You hated everybody from the beginning.
Yeah, you married your son. What do you expect?
I know, that was disgusting. I was
stepson.
Like, what's that?
Excuse me, married her stepson.
Yeah, well, right.
Okay.
Well, I love your show.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Well,
alrighty.
Yeah, thank you there. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I wanted to defend Colby.
Oh, please, go ahead.
See, there is a love affair with the women of America.
Right, you heard it. Frida liked him.
Yeah,
this lady likes him.
All right, well, my only point is you're already talking about him more than you would have if he won.
Now, honey, I'm talking about him today on the show, today because the show was on last night. I guarantee that after today, the name Colby will be synonymous with cheese once again.
Unless something happens to him.
Guaranteed, though, you wouldn't be talking about him this long if he had won. It would have been forgotten.
Oh, no.
Now you remember.
You're so wrong. We'd be talking about him more if he won.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, we might not be talking about him tomorrow, but for a long time, I'll be thinking about him.
Listen.
Well, I'll be thinking about him, too.
Of course you will.
I'd hate him if he won or if he lost. But listen, you're a Colby lover. And I want to dedicate a song to you right now. What's your name, honey?
Megan.
Megan, where are you from?
Vienna.
Vienna, this is for you.
Said at first that we would never part.
This is for you and Colby, a special song.
Thank you.
See, Texas, it's all about Colby. Keep listening now.
Biggest cowgirl bitch I've ever seen. This is
for you, sweetie.
Stuff into your tight blue ranch jeans.
All right, here we go.
Well, I thought of every word from A to Z.
That's right.
But you put the in country.
All right.
Thank you.
At least she didn't get mad.
Right. She gets the joke.
Thank you, honey.
You know, she's probably right.
I mean, look at that. Frida likes Colby. Mm-hmm. She likes Colby.
I like Colby now.
You like Colby. All the girls like Colby.
Yeah, I didn't even see the show. I love Colby now.
Let's go to the line 877-365-3636. That is our toll-free number. Secret Sound number 4.
All right.
Which is worth $500. We'll try to give it the money away now. Be the 100th person to call. Lisa, we'll be right back.
Number 1, Arbitron Lincoln. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the muffler plant's gone too.
Yep.
Oh, come on, damn it. Oh, that sounds good. Melted chocolate inside the dash. That really ups the resale value.
I think you're going to be okay here. They have a thin candy shell. Surprised you didn't know that.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has a shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up, Richard.
Eating faintly of salt, the Don and Mike Show.
Next week, we're going to be giving away some laser eye surgery on the show, valued at $5,000.
I'm glad we're doing that again.
Yeah. And none of this PPGP stuff. The real guy.
The guy, man?
The guy that did, well, his company, the guy that did my laser eye from Dr. Witten's office.
Wow.
And we'll be giving that away next week. I think we're going to have a talent show, probably, for the laser eye surgery.
That's a wonderful idea.
You know, the other night when we were leaving New York, we were all in the car, and for a goof, we were listening to Cousin Brucey on CBS FM.
A legendary old-time DJ.
Yeah, he sucks now like he did then. And it was, I guess they have him do a one-night-a-week show.
And they wheel him in?
Yeah, where they pretended it was 1966. So he's playing all the music from 66.
Right.
And he was like reading news headlines from 1966. And at one point he stopped down and he did a live commercial. And we started goofing on him because he kept talking about some doctor in New York that offers LASED eye surgery.
LASED?
LASED. Was that what he was saying, Buzz?
It was like later or something.
Oh, no, that's what it was.
Later, I think.
Later.
Later eye surgery. Speech impediment?
Well,
we thought so.
Later. But then somebody told us. Who told us this? Was it Rob?
Rob or Charlie, yeah.
Somebody said that it's like a brand name, that there are so many laser eye surgeons now.
Well, don't they call it... What is LASIK?
It's LASIK is the actual procedure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then it's also nicknamed laser eye surgery, but Cousin Brucey, Robbie, what was it? Was it later?
Like various brand names.
Later eye surgery?
What
was the equivalent of LEDER, like Lederhosen. Later eye surgery, cousins.
Hi, welcome to Lederhosen eye surgery.
I tell you what, cousins.
And we spent a better part of the night goofing on it, yeah, because, yeah, you know, we're thinking, what is this old fossil thinking? Later eye surgery.
Right.
Later. You know, didn't know if he couldn't pronounce Z.
Right. Well, maybe it's the optimal laser eye surgery for people that can't afford it. You do one eye, and then you do the other one later.
Later. Well, either way, all I know is that the one we're giving away next week on the show,
the real thing.
It's the good one.
Yeah. Good.
It's the one where, like, your penis doesn't fall off a week later and your ears start bleeding.
I can see perfectly, but I have no penis.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, what number am I?
Oh, you're number 100, my friend.
Come on.
No, really? what be thy name?
My name is Joe from Rochester, New York.
Hi, Joe. Listen, call 100. You won the Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss the Sopranos. Hey, and as long as we're talking about things that have been sucking recently, they better have a good show this Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
I'm already turned off because they only have 3 left.
and I feel like I've gotten ripped off. I feel like two in a row have ripped me off, and I'm very upset about that.
That's why I'm still holding out hope.
I am too.
That they're going to pack a lot of great stuff into the last
year. I'll be there. I mean, it's been a lot of good television.
Sopranos, Sunday night, 9, Eastern, 8 Central on HBO. Soundtrack in stores now. Are you ready to play for $500?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. The secret sound number 4, common everyday sound. Identify it. You win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Karen Carpenter.
We need a shovel.
Start speed.
Caller, name this sound.
And there it is. As I ponder which of the Carpenters hits,
so many,
Mike will be performing. If we do give away the money, it's courtesy Main Street Tidal.
I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation.
Yeah. There's so many ways you could have gone with that, man. Yeah.
I only, you know, those kind of songs, Don, I only wish I had more time.
Yeah.
And the only explanation I can find.
Thank you. And the fingers up in the air.
For $500, what is the sound?
It's a VCR tape going into a VCR.
No.
Isn't that a previous sound?
Yes, it was. But thank you, and don't forget that every guest
it's
is a clue
for you.
Clue for you.
Clue for you.
I bet it could name more Carpenter songs than anybody.
Yep.
And probably.
I bet.
You want to go back and forth? Let's go back and forth, because I think on this one, I might get you on this one. Top of the World. That's mine.
For All We Know.
We've Only Just Begun.
Hurting Each Other.
You win.
That's all I know.
Go ahead, keep going.
Superstar. Bless the Beast and the Children. What's that one? Every sha-la-la-la, every whoa-whoa-whoa still shines.
You know, you
yesterday once
there's
more.
There's sound on that keyboard for you right now. That you're...
I'm with you. I'm a robo-fag. I just love all the Carpenter songs.
You know, it's moments like this when I realize just how complicated a man you are.
Touch me when we're dancing.
Misunderstood in many circles.
Oh, come on. F you. I could keep going. I really could, please.
Okay.
I won't. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, my name's Larry from Sacramento.
Did I give you Superstar?
Yes, you did.
Don't you remember you told me you loved me, baby?
You said
you'd be coming back to me again, baby. Baby, 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 oh, baby. I love you.
Wow, that's pathetic.
Please, Mr. Postman.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
I just want to tell you about this crazy guy.
Mr. Postman, wait for me.
Hello.
Did we have close to you?
No.
That's a big one.
Why close to you? What can we do for you? Hi. I know we're singing here, but what can we do for you?
Sir. Frighten them.
What?
Do we scare you with our singing?
What, you don't like the Carpenters?
Yeah, come on.
Who doesn't like the Carpenters, man? Hello, Don and Mike Show, man.
Close to you.
Everybody wants to sing.
Days and Mondays always
get me down.
Yeah, I should have had that one.
Da 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 da.
Thank you. Did you just say faggot? Hey, you're the faggot. Well, I'm the faggot, too, but you're the faggot,
Your brain's got this shell on it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, y'all got some bad press up there in Frederick.
Yeah, we're aware of that. You know, that comes with the territory, sir, when you do a show like this.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, they got some people up there that need to take their heads out of their rear ends and smell the air.
Yeah, you know, basically what happened was we did a Las Vegas-style show in Frederick a while ago, and the club that we were at has, I believe, temporarily lost their liquor license.
Ah,
yeah, it's 3 blocks from my house.
Yeah, they're nitpicking because we were there at the time doing the show.
They used it as an excuse.
Yes, they did it, and frankly, we support the good people at Club Exhale, and Godspeed to them. Thank you, my friend.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, I hope everything works out.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to talk to Don and Mike.
You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, yes. You forgot about your favorite Carpenter song.
Which one?
You had to remind him, didn't you, sir?
That new CD. You're right. You know what would be great? I know we don't. Do we have a Carpenter CD here?
No, we don't.
Oh, we don't?
We don't have any Carpenter CDs at all.
In your car?
What about in the office? You know, I do have the box set, but I think it's at home.
Oh. You have the box set?
Yeah. I do.
Really? I didn't know that.
I do.
I really didn't know that until this moment.
I collect such things.
I know you knew.
They're all hits.
You got a large library.
Yeah, I got thousands of CDs at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, but here's my favorite all-time song by Karen Carpenter right now.
You know, it might be worth it.
How fast could someone run up the street to Borders,
right,
to buy a Carpenter's Greatest Hits album?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that she's been dead for like 10 years, and they've been off the charts for 20 years.
Right.
But still, around, have Lisa go and buy me a Carpenter's CD. We could at least do a couple of minutes on it.
Sure.
You know, to be playing the syrupy songs. All that... Right,
wow.
Love it.
Boy, that's, you know, that CD, that almost gets me that way.
Yeah,
really does.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
I can't believe you guys didn't like that last episode of The Sopranos, that big pussy retrospective.
Nah, it sucked.
You know, that's exactly what I hated. That is akin to when you're watching, well, what's a good show? Like Friends. And they say it's an all-new Friends.
Right.
And actually what it is they've just taken bits out of old shows,
right,
and they've spliced them together, and it has like the friends all sitting around and going, God, they shrunk their chins, and they go, do you remember that time that Ross and Rachel got in so much trouble? And then,
The screen gets all squiggly.
Right.
Yeah.
But the new episode, I guess, they got that guy, you know, what's that funny looking dude that got in a knife fight? Steve Buscemi. Yeah, he's supposed to be directing the next episode.
Yeah, well, you know, who knows?
It's supposed to be a little bit more violent, a little bit more moody.
Well, Steve Buscemi is the funny-looking guy.
Yeah, he's a funny-looking guy.
Yeah, it's from Fargo.
Yeah, the funny-looking guy.
Yeah, but who knows? You know, that's what she says about him, right?
Yeah, he's a funny, so he was the funny-looking guy.
You know, who knows if he can direct an episode or not? And on The Sopranos, I understand that what they were doing weren't actual flashbacks,
right,
of old episodes, because they don't have enough episodes to do old flashbacks.
It was recreated flashbacks, which is even more
disturbing.
Yes.
Really.
And you know what? I understood the timeline, if you were talking about it, wasn't that long ago, and yet their physical appearance transformed into, you know, where they've got Paulie Walnuts lost all of his gray hair.
And Tony had more hair. And it was darker.
Looked ridiculous. Right. It's like all of a sudden they went back into the 50s.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
See you later. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Donnie, Mikey, how you doing? This is Jamie Cullen from Sacramento.
Jamie, hold on. Karen Carpenter once said, well, what did you think of that Sopranos, Karen? It's going to be worth it when we get that CD.
Oh, yeah, because it'll be, you know how it is? You know how I know something's going to be good? Because, you know, that little voice in my head, that little angel in my head is going, oh, it's shaking its head right now. You know, I know already. I know that's sulfur. I'm smelling sulfur.
And listen, I know that we're 10 years late on that bit.
Yeah, but you know what?
Playing a Carpenter's record and puke sound effects.
I think it's equally disturbing, even 10 years later.
Well, I think now that we have new and better throw-up sounds than you did back in the day.
Yeah, right? We didn't have the technology back then.
Yeah, now we've got it.
To do it like this.
You know, you can't argue with those sound effects.
No, you can't. It's great. Pull my finger. Part two. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hey, this is your main fan in Seattle. You know, this is Michael from Seattle, your main fan here.
What?
Pardon me?
It's Michael, your main fan from Seattle.
You know, I've talked to you guys many times. Anyway, you guys are forgetting about what Karen Carpenter's brother sang right before she passed away.
What?
She's not happy. She's my sister. Story.
Buzz has that look on his face.
No, I just think you need to get a new number one fan in Seattle.
Oh, come on.
Hey, you know, about our Seattle station, and let's be honest, it's a Seattle station.
It's actually KRKO in Everett.
Yes, it's
just north of Seattle.
It's close to Seattle.
Exactly. It picks up in Seattle really well.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, I was distressed. Somebody sent me an email and said that I should go to the website. Oh, I got a website for you.
Oh, yeah, the websites. They had a poll where you rated all their, you know, just talking throughout the day.
Yeah.
And
don't go there, Buzz. I was just distressed. I got another website that I want you to go to from Mike. I found this one. You're going to love this site, Mike.
Really?
No,
but anyway, on the station in Seattle, KRKO, that we're on,
yeah,
they have right up front on their webpage, it says, which of our disc jockeys do you hate the most?
Exactly, that's the one that's going on, right?
And it has Imus and Tony Kornheiser and us and Phil Hendry.
Are we winning?
You guys were ahead on the first day. They hated you the most the first day, but now everyone loves you guys.
Yeah, well, that's the way
now
it
works. They're starting to hate Imus, which is what they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's Imus bad rapped you guys this morning, too.
Imus did. Hey, Don Anus?
Well, yeah, he did. It was a joke. He was talking to some live show he was doing, and when he got to, he was telling who was going to be on throughout the day after him. And when he got to you guys, he said, yeah, then Don and Mike, two totally lame schmucks or something.
Two totally lame schmucks who are still going to be alive in the year 2010.
2002.
Stupid idiot. Charlie has just pulled up the website here. And let me see. KRKO. Oh, and this is hey, Charlie, did you get an email from the same person I did? Or does it say someone emailed Charlie and it says, I talked to the PD at KRKO. The website poll was indeed an innocent thing.
Sure.
They did a similar poll weeks ago asking listeners to pick their favorite show.
Exactly.
Don and Mike finished second, 1% behind Phil Hendry.
And that's only because of the time slot you guys are on. He happens to be on in the evening when everyone's in their car. You guys are on from 12 to 4 here.
Have you ever heard this Phil Hendry show incident?
No, I never heard him.
Okay, I want to tell you that. I know guys in the radio business who have said to me, this guy, Phil Hendry, he's amazing. You're going to be blown away by his show. So I heard his show the other day.
First time?
First time I'd ever heard it. And here's the guy's whole rap. The guy... He's got a regular disc jockey voice.
Hi, how are you?
And he does impressions. Now, he doesn't do impressions like you do.
How so?
Good impressions of famous people.
Okay.
He has like 4 or 5 nondescript... Let me put you on hold for a second to demonstrate what I mean.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me show you what he does.
All right.
Like, for instance...
Hello?
Yeah. Here's the Phil Hendry show.
All right.
Because it's him on the telephone.
Right.
Okay?
Talking to himself.
Phil Hendry, hi.
Yeah. Hey, Phil, I just want to say, you're a big fat jerk, and you're a bigot, and all women should have their vaginas removed.
Well, now, how could you possibly say that on the radio, sir?
Well, Phil, it's my right to say whatever I like on the radio, and I think that all women should have their vaginas immediately removed.
Well, you're an a-hole, sir, and then the thing, I guess what the point of the show is that dumb listeners who don't realize that it's this guy who is nowhere near your level of
so what
skills
he does
and voices.
Is he does it a la Rick Dees, the phony, like with the candid phony, does the stupid little voice, but he pretends to be a listener.
Yes, it's him.
A listener.
What it is it's him talking on the telephone to himself.
What jive is that?
And the person that's on the telephone, the fake guy on the phone,
right,
who's really him,
right,
says outrageous things with outrageous points of view, and the listeners, who are so dumb, I guess, that they can't figure out. Because, like I said, the guy's not skilled at voices like you
right,
are.
Right.
You can tell that it's the same guy talking to himself. But I hear it. I still hear dumb listeners calling in going, Phil, I can't believe this guy on the telephone really advocates the removal of all women's vaginas. And he goes, yeah, I don't know. Listen, I'm with you. And then, you know, he gets on the phone, same guy, and he goes, ma'am, I would advocate removing your vagina immediately. And the woman goes, well, I think that's awful. And then he gets on the microphone and goes, yes, that is awful.
Oh.
I mean, that's the guy's show.
So that's what everybody was telling you was so scary good.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Wow.
Anyway. Here
radio, it's red hot.
Here we go. KRKO. Here's the latest poll from the station in Seattle about who they like and
very latest.
Okay. Who people hate. Imus, 52%. Phil Hendry, 19%. Tony Kornheiser. Who, incidentally, and I don't say this about a lot of people in radio, has a goddamn funny show.
Tony Kornheiser is probably also the best writer as far as just pure, funny, intelligent writing is the best writer at the Washington Post.
I listen to Tony Kornheiser every day. I think he's funny as hell. And then Don and Mike, 11%. So we're least hated on this poll,
well,
at least right now.
Oh, my God. How rare is that for us? But, you know, I'm not sure whether I like that entirely.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, listen, here's the website I've got for you, Buzz.
Okay.
Go to amigoingdown.com. It's not sexual, Mike.
Really?
Yeah. Buzz, get there quickly, please, so everybody else doesn't come on.
Amigoingdown.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
You need me, Charlie, for something? Are you just hanging out?
All right, I've got it. Oh, I see what it's
okay.
about.
Now,
yes,
listen
I'm
to
there.
This. Now, should I go over there and take a peek?
No.
Okay. No, you should just give the information to Buzz. Here is the premise of this website.
Very good.
For instance, next Friday we are flying to Portland, Maine.
Oh, no.
We are flying on... What are we flying, Charlie? United? We're flying on United Airlines.
Is this odds of dying?
Yes, odds of your plane crashing.
Okay, very good. All right.
So click in from Dulles Airport in D.C.,
okay,
in Virginia.
Click on the plane to begin, so I'll start by doing that.
What's it say, your odds? Your odds of the plane crashing.
Oh, my.
And you can click in.
So do certain plane trips have more odds?
What? The
greater odds?
The great thing about this flight is that they've actually done research on every single flight.
Right.
From every single location to every single location. So it's not a goof. It's mathematical. What is the probability?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I'm guessing if a plane crashed once... from D.C. to Portland, Maine,
right?
That your odds of crashing again would be better than if you were on a route where they had never had a plane crash.
Can I thank you now for finding that website for me? thinking of me, I'm very disturbed again.
But now listen, no, here's the thing. I thought this would help you because...
Oh, yes.
No. You love, in your spare time, you just go on the web and you like track flights, even flights that you're not on.
I'm always doing that.
Right. So, when you do really travel, you could go to amigoingdown.com, and you could actually feel better when you would find out the percentage that you're going to die on an airplane.
So, Buzz, are you doing it? Have you written it in?
Yeah, it wanted my name and email address, and I had to tell it what country I'm flying from and what country I'm flying to. So we're waiting for the next page now so I can get, I guess, city to city.
Yeah, you've got four or five pages of crap that you've got to get through there, Buzz.
And did they put it with a 1 in 1 million, or did they put a percentage?
When I did it, it was percentage.
Percentage?
Percentage.
But it has slowed down since we mentioned it.
Oh, of course, because everybody's going to the site now.
But we're getting there.
Oh, you know, we've already got somebody that's got probably a T1 line that's already figured it out.
Hey, you right here. Mike, if you were going to New York, you'd be better off than me. But since you're going to Portland, Maine, and it's over water.
I had a buddy email me this, and I thought it was a sex site, right?
Yeah, sure.
Guy emailed me and said,
am I going down?
Amigoingdown.com. And I clicked on it.
If I am going down, there's a chance I may be going down. You know, go down while you're going down.
Enjoy.
What's it doing now, Buzz?
Yeah, we're still waiting for the next page to flip over.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. All right.
I don't want to say that this is cruel, but this is cruel. You got me on this website, and now I'm hanging there.
I know.
What do you think, Karen?
Okay, that's not the one that's bad. There's one that's a lot worse.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Hey, I was going to call. I don't want to get into every caller's nightmare of calling after the subject, but there's a point about Survivor. I think Tina was just outplayed him. She was brilliant.
Okay, yeah, Tina's a brilliant woman.
His body just wasn't going with him.
I love Don and Mike.
Glad he added that.
Hello. Brilliant is not a word I would use to describe Tina.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What about the breast issue with Tina? I didn't ask you about that. Have you?
They looked supple last night.
Do they look still fake, or do they look?
No, I've never thought they were fake.
Well, they were fake. They were obviously fake.
I don't think they're fake.
She weighed 13 pounds, and then she was all boobs.
It's possible she just carries them.
No, I think if you're going to lose weight, they're going to turn into crepes.
Maybe they were smaller as the show went on. I don't know. She looked good. You know, for an old broad, she looked pretty good. Hello.
Hello.
I said that last night and Frida got mad. I said, you know, for an old broad, she looks good. And Frida said, I'm older than she is.
Well, she's 40.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think she looks good for 40.
My wife's 45. Yeah.
But I mean, I really don't think.
Better.
I think Tina was an old-looking 40, don't you?
I was mainly looking from the neck down.
Weathered. Weathered in the face.
Very
probably
weathered.
Sun exposure.
Like Haggy. You don't have to face. Except if it's a special occasion.
Yes, that's right. Oh, hence the website.
It's your birthday.
Right.
You got anything there, Buzz? Yet?
No. Hello. I'm trying again.
Hey, KRKO just changed their webpage again.
Really? What's it say now?
Now they took out the, now the local poll changed to baseball, football, basketball, or hockey.
Oh, of course, because now that we've talked about it, now right. All kinds
they
of
people... They just changed it. It just changed.
Why? I mean, if we're talking about it, that would be good.
They're stupid, I guess.
Yes, okay. Bingo.
Voila.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Speaking of drummers, I wanted to ask Mike whether he got the book that I sent him a couple months ago about drumming.
Who was speaking of drummers?
No, I didn't get any book. I don't remember seeing a book about drummers.
I sent you a book a couple months ago. It was called Life in Double Time, about this guy who traveled around being a drummer for years. Thought you'd find it interesting.
No, thank you for sending it, but I did not see it. Sometimes,
really?
Sometimes that stuff doesn't get through. Sometimes little hands walk through. I think it was maybe Matt Stout was visiting. I will, based on New York, be blaming everything on Matt Stout from this point forward.
Who was speaking of drummers?
No, I was speaking of drummers. I sent Mike a book.
No. When you started off the call, you said...
Oh, Karen Carpenter.
Oh, you're right.
crap there, Mike.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, bye.
Hey, buddy.
See you later.
Thank you, my friend.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going?
Oh, yeah, hold on a second. I do have to tell you something about the mail.
Yes.
And it might not be someone stealing the mail. Do you know that a couple of weeks ago, G. Gordon Liddy came up to me and said, have you been getting your mail? And I said, no, like the last 5 days I've gotten nothing in the mail. And as it turns out, what's the story that there's like bags and bags of mail for this radio station
right.
that have to be picked up at the post office?
And it hasn't been done?
Nobody's gone to pick it up.
Oh, my God.
And Liddy got all concerned because he gets tons more mail than we do.
Right.
And he was gone like 5 days with no mail at all coming in.
Because somebody just didn't pick it up?
Yeah. And I still don't think that whoever it is here at the station has gone to pick up the mail, right?
What is it? Is it the P.O.? I haven't heard about it. Is it the P.O. box that's in D.C.?
Right.
They pretend they're a D.C. station?
Right. Well, because a lot of times we give that out as our mailing address,
right,
P.O. Box 3649 Washington, D.C.
And I don't spend a lot of time thinking about my mail because my mail is basically handled with my mail is reviewed by the prison guards here before it gets to me. For your own protection. Yes, it always has.
As is mine.
Yes, you know, I mean, I don't think about mail that much. I really don't.
All I know is that for a while I wasn't even getting the letters that Charlie had already opened and pre-read and
right.
decided it was safe for me to read.
Exactly. That's always funny. It's always funny. I can't, you know, it happens so rarely, I mean, in mail in general, that it's difficult. But occasionally, won't you get disturbed when Charlie will come in, like, with total knowledge of something, you know, and then you dig it and you're like, wow, I didn't get that first. He's a good mail screener, though.
Hey, Buzz, you got anything on that?
No, no luck. It will not turn over to the next page. I don't know why.
Hello?
Don, I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, did you know this from The Sopranos and the flashbacks who Jackie Sr. is?
Wait,
Grandma!
Who's that?
It's Grandma from Rounders.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, no, hold on. I was thinking of Teddy KGB.
Oh, wait, it is Jackie Sr. without the mustache.
That's like Fu Manchu.
And lighter hair.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's no big deal because Jackie was a character in the first season. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, it is. But that is, for anybody that loves Rounders.
Yes.
And because he looks totally different.
He really does.
Yeah, the guy's absolutely right. I was, my mistake, I was thinking of John Malkovich.
Grandma.
Right.
Son of bitch! Mr. Son of Beach. Beach.
Check. Pay that man his money.
Pay that man his money.
He beat me.
Straight up. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, did you hear that Jack Diamond is going to be sitting in for Chris Corr on Monday and Tuesday of next week?
Are you kidding? Is he really?
It was in the Washington Post this week.
Of course it was.
Are you sure it's this week?
It says next week. Chris Corr is taking the week off. Jack Diamond Monday and Tuesday, and Sam Donaldson the rest of the week.
I mean, that was like 3 months ago.
It was in the Post this week. Oh, whatever.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Before we do the whatever, let's find out what the real story is.
Because I do read the Washington Post. What day was it in the Washington Post?
It was like Monday or Tuesday.
The radio column is in on Tuesdays. And this week, I do know this because I do read Frank Ahern's column, just to laugh. This week, he wrote all about a station in San Francisco.
Right.
I mean, the guy writes the radio column for the Washington Post.
Right. Well, he likes San Francisco.
Yeah, it was Ahern's column, but it was like it was weird because it showed up twice in one day.
Is there an outside chance you could have picked up a Monday or Tuesday paper from the week before?
I searched it on the web.
Oh, you searched it on the web?
Or from months ago?
No, it came up on the web. I don't know why it would have come up earlier.
They archive old stories on there, so you might have been reading an older story.
Because we want to make
sure.
It's
entirely possible.
We want to make sure if we're promoting the afternoon show for another station, we want to make sure we get it absolutely right.
And I'm positive, because we talked about it, that we were upset that we were on vacation.
Yep.
The last time Chris Core went on vacation, and Jack Diamond filled in, and then Sam Donaldson also filled in for a couple of days.
Well, as I say, I could be wrong. Just thought you'd like to know.
Well, that's great, and we appreciate you looking out for us.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, but before you go, what's your name, honey?
Orla.
What's your name?
Orla.
Orla.
Yes.
Where are you from?
Washington.
There you go. Long distance dedication for you, honey. Why check on those details? Are you still there? Hello? She's playing a long-distance dedication.
I think she's gone. She's not going to enjoy it.
She hung up to hear your answer on the air.
Right. Well, I thought of every word from A to Z. Sing it, baby. There you go.
She's gone.
And she's gone.
Like the wind.
Any luck on that website, Buzz?
None whatsoever.
You know what?
Let's try home. Did you, when you were playing with it last night, did you pop in Portland?
No.
Okay.
I didn't on purpose.
Hello?
Hey, sweetie?
Well, hold on a minute, boo-boo. Let me turn down my radio.
Are you by the web?
Yeah, I am. Hold on.
Good. Okay. She'll get it on our computer. Our computer's fast.
We have a T1 connection here at the station, but right now...
You have a T1 connection that's used by 1 million people.
And everybody's online right now.
Yes, my darling.
And all the salespeople do here.
Whether they need to be or not.
And did you also know this? That our computers here, they get routed to New York?
Yeah.
Before they get routed back here.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, everybody in New York that's on the computer is also on our same line.
We're on the air live. Why would we need a fast computer?
I mean,
that's crazy talk.
Could you get on Microsoft, whatever that...
You want me to search something?
No. I got a website I want you to go to.
Oh, all right. Hit me.
Okay. Amigoingdown.com.
www.amigoingdown.com. All right.
And
it's coming up.
All right.
AmIGoingDown.com. I don't want to see airplane going down.
No, honey. Listen.
Thank you, Frida.
What it does is it's for my...
You're torturing me, Frida.
What? Oh, poor you.
It gives you
talk about this.
It gives you... You put in your flight and the airline and the cities, and it gives you the odds that the plane...
I'm going to www.flyingissafe.com.
Oh, please, honey, come on.
I'm sorry, you're going to have somebody else play this.
Thank you, Frida.
All right.
You go on vacation this summer, you won't let me take the plane with the beds on it so I can sleep like Elvis.
Oh.
We go away. So I'm not going to your website. Sorry.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
You know, I'm not even going to get in this discussion about the ridiculous pampered chef life that my wife leads. That
those pampered chef people work hard.
We are. Well, it was the only thing I could think of.
I understand.
Pampered.
I just had that flashback to my vacation. Remember? Hotel in Disney with the pampered chef.
I know.
Okay.
She pisses me off.
That's you can't say anything. You're so angry.
The whole thing is that we were planning a vacation later this summer, and we were planning an overseas vacation, and it's fine for me to fly business, which is like a step down from first class, but it's fine.
Right.
You know, the chairs are nice and luxurious.
Yeah, nice and big, roomy.
You're on a plane for 9 hours. Well, when she was in New York a couple of months ago with me, she walked past. We were walking down the street in Manhattan, and she saw a window display for British Air, where they have seats that actually turn into beds.
Yeah, they recline completely.
Yes, and what she likes is the fact that they come over and they put sheets on them and bedspreads actually turn into a bed for you.
Yeah, and you can also get your jerk on.
And this has now become the defining point of this vacation that we're going to be taking late this summer is that, from my standpoint, I don't see why we just don't fly business class on an airline that will take us directly to where we're going,
mm-hmm.
when my wife would rather fly British Air so that we fly to London,
right,
and then we fly from London
sure.
to the place that we're going, and the only reason that we're going to be spending the extra money and spending the extra time in the airplane is so that she can fly on the airplane
with beds,
with the seats that turn into beds. And I tried to tell her they don't really turn into real beds.
Well, they're as comfortable as they can be, but they are not.
Right.
They're not beds.
Yeah, and the only come on that British Airways gives you is that, you know, the waitresses come by and they actually put sheets and pillows down for you.
And some manual relief.
Yeah, and you can get your jerk on.
I mean, that, you know, sometimes that's worth flying.
So that's been a bone of contention with my wife and I recently, that we've been arguing about this, about this vacation and the plans about what type of airplane we're going to be on.
Well, it seems to me if you're taking more time to get to the place you're getting to, then it's better to... See if you have nice seats to get from point A to point B.
I should be married to you.
Well, I'm good at travel, too. And usually I see eye to eye with your wife on travel. I'm surprised she wants... Is this the beds?
The beds is the only thing that
she... The beds. She wants to lie down in the bed.
Yes.
Do what Mike does. Lay down in the aisle.
Yeah. That's what I do. That's why, hey, how you trying to sleep in those tiny seats?
Buzz, you got anything yet?
No luck. Although I have been told that this website doesn't handle that particular flight anyway. Doesn't address that particular flight anyway.
You couldn't do Dulles Airport to Portland, Maine?
That's what I hear, yeah.
Oh, well, you're out of luck, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Feeling really unlucky now.
What do you think, Karen?
That's the one.
Hey, is Lisa back with that CD yet?
I don't think so.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Mr. 420. I was calling for Buzz.
Oh, as opposed to Mr. 40.
Getting a big laugh at the 420 Club.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I was on that site if you guys wanted me to go through it.
Yeah, Buzz said he already tried to pop it in there and they don't have information for our flight.
Okay, so there's a Portland on there. It says Portland International. That's not the right one?
That'd probably be Portland, Oregon.
Oregon, right?
Yeah, we're looking to go to Portland, Maine.
Okay.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right.
But, Mike, the site is great, though, because...
Okay. Yeah, I'll be logging on this weekend. I'll be living on it this weekend.
You put in the airline...
Right.
...and the flight and the destination, and it actually comes up and tells you the percent, like... 1% crash potential,
right.
0.1% crash potential.
Mm.
There was some flight, I don't remember which one it was, a double-digit percentage, like over 10% that the plane would crash.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. And then, wow.
Really?
Boy.
And you know what the flight was? It's Washington to Sacramento.
No, I'm glad we made that one.
Up, we got the Carpenter CD.
Hey, I'm ready to go into my defensive crouch here. There was a time there would have been hell to pay to do this, but this is it's been a long time, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. She's been on the ground a while.
Yes.
And, Mike, I like to think of it as...
Just a little comedy.
I like to think of this as our way of saying to the young ladies listening, don't eat food and then make yourself throw up so that you will be thin.
Okay, very good.
Learn the lesson.
Ah, good.
From Karen Carpenter.
Way to spin it, Don. That's good. Yeah, you got the CD there. And, you know, you're about to do something that I consider to be one of the most difficult things in the world. You're going to open a CD.
Nope, Rob already did it.
Already done.
Rob, you do that faster than any human being I have ever seen. And you're going to... I would like, at some point, you to teach me the method for opening those up as rapidly as you
do. I'd like you to know there's none of the sticky stuff left on it either.
And were you able to get off the little white label that says what the CD is?
We got some CDs sometime. Right. He was standing next to me, and he opened one for me, and I watched. And it's—I don't know why they designed them this way. Everybody feels the same way when you buy DVDs and CDs.
Mm.
You know, it's just but CDs in particular, it's nuts.
You know, they make a tool, and Buzz actually turned me onto the tool.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great primer for learning how to do it. It's like about 89 cents. You just slide it across the top.
Really?
Look for it like Tower.
Okay, this is great. Right. We got a break. We'll come back. We'll do this tribute to Karen Carpenter.
Very good.
And more on the show right after this.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. Yeah, here ESPN is trying to f*** me.
And you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends, and that's it. If you don't like it, you and your families too. Now let's talk about the game.
Edit.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Then let's make it this one. The Don and Mike Show.
Howdy, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, how about those Kings in Sacramento, huh?
Sacramento Kings, yes, they did beat the Phoenix Suns, correct. Way to go.
Well, nobody's talking about it, man. I want to just clap it up a little bit, you know.
Right, let's see how they do against the Lakers. How about those Kings?
Yeah!
Yeah, baby! Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I love it!
Hey, how are you guys doing?
I mean this, if they beat the Lakers, I'm going
to
be there. I'm going to be a big Kings fan.
Sure.
For life. Until the next series. Right.
There you go.
But if they can beat the Lakers, I'm really going to start thinking about being a serious Kings fan.
When would you make the final decision? When they won the NBA championship?
Yeah.
Very good.
I hope that the people of Sacramento don't boo the Lakers.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
And then at that point, I hope you all realize that if they do win the world championship, I'll say I've been there all along.
And you really have.
Right here, Robbie.
I know.
In my ticker.
You always talk about it after they take us off the network.
When you say that, though, when you say that, make sure you share with our listening audience that I am the real basketball fan on the show.
No one knows it better, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Top of the key.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, what?
What's going on, guys?
Hi, we're doing the show. What can we do for you?
Well, actually, this is the first time that I call you guys. I listen to you guys as much as I can.
Where are you from?
I hit the road.
Where are you from?
And, I'm calling from Bakersfield, California.
Where are you from originally?
From Bakersfield.
No, originally.
Oh, I'm from El Salvador.
El Salvador. Okay. What can we do for you?
Okay, I know that you guys have all kinds of crazy things on your show, and that's what makes you guys great.
Right.
And I was thinking of something that you have done something similar, but I don't think you've done this. I was thinking of you guys getting a bunch of, like, big-sized people, you know, like heavy guys.
Yes.
Have, like, a throw-up contest.
Having a throw-up contest. Throw-up contest.
I bet you. Okay, one time I saw a movie, and it gave me an idea. They had a high-eating contest.
Yes, Stand By Me.
Somebody started throwing up.
Yeah,
The next one. The next one started throwing up.
Right.
And then it went like that on chain.
Yes.
And then it grosses you out so much.
Yes, it does.
It was a pie eating contest.
It makes you throw up, and if not, makes you laugh. It makes you laugh so much that you will throw up anyways.
Hey, listen, this is a perfect segue into our next feature. And what's your name?
My name is Rico.
Rico, and you're calling from Bakersfield radio station KGEO?
Oh, yeah.
Right, that's the station.
He likes throw-up, Don.
That's what it is.
Have a beautiful weekend in Southern California, Rico. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, you too. You know what? Hey
Rico. Rico.
One of your best friends.
Rico, you blew it.
We gotta go. Hold on, let me try it with a different song.
Fight bulimia.
That's a bit too up-tempo.
Friends, don't let friends throw up.
Right. That was a bit too up. Let's try a different one.
Talking to myself and feel old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Again, two up-tempo. Moving very slow.
Yes.
Cut number five. Five. All right, let's try this one. Yeah, we did. Nice. She didn't give me the greatest hits, though. She's got, like, a regular Carpenters album.
Curveball.
Up next, Barry White.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, man. A new perspective.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I just want to let you guys know, I'm driving on 395 right now in traffic, and there was a guy that was pulled over that was kind of doing, like, the dry heave wretch thing, and... to this deadlock, I rolled down my window. I said, Donna Mikey. He's like,
Well, they said yesterday it had the same effect.
Yeah. All right. Good show, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
I've done all I can do.
I think you're going to be okay here. I've got a thin candy shell.
I'm fine. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. And I got a new Carpenter CD to listen to on the way home tonight.
Well, you can match up with your box set.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, thanks.
We're calling because we're getting a little grossed out. Let's
go. No, more pukes. We want more pukes.
Husband and wife arguing.
A conflict.
Yeah, we're arguing in a car. We're stuck waiting for a ferry for 3.5 hours. So we got to listen to puking.
You're waiting for a ferry? Who are you waiting for?
We're going to San Juan Island.
Hi, Richard Simmons is here. Okay. All right, honey. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. See you later. Well, like I said, I know it's 10 years late, but our tribute to Karen Carpenter.
And our warning.
Yes. Tribute and a warning.
There you go. Public service.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, Big Tourette Show still being planned on the horizon.
Absolutely.
To educate and inform.
That's what we do here.
And amuse.
Right.
Hello.
Don
and Mike.
Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, this is Satan. I'm just calling ahead with your room reservation. And I just wanted to know, how would you like your room heat? Hiroshima or interior of the sun?
All right, get out of here, please. You stupid puke. You're listening to it. You're going with us. Time out. We got a break. When we come back...
I got to use the John.
When we come back... Charlie Stossel, I think, is here.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bolivia.
Speaking of waiting for ferries.
Hello?
I'm kidding, Charlie.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
All right, he's not there. Screw him.
We'll get to Chuck Stossel.
Hi.
The love muscle. in just a second. Oh, I did want to ask one other guy their opinion on that last bit. Pete?
How do you like it, Pete?
Pete, what'd you think of that?
Eat my bung. Dickweed.
Hey!
All right.
He's the Carpenter's fan. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see. I hate when people talk during the movie.
Damn dirty apes, Don and Mike.
Well, it's a Friday, and we're back in D.C., and that means it's movie day with Ben Franklin Stossel. Are those new glasses?
No, I've had them for a few months now.
Charlie Stossel, the love muscle, joins us. Charlie, I don't know what you're doing wrong, but this week there is...
What am I doing wrong?
No hate mail.
No hate mail.
No hate mail, no jail mail.
But they're lovely glasses, Charlie.
Why?
No hate mail. Let me play you in.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico. Here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Don.
Hi.
Fresh off the stage of 1776.
I can't get by the goddamn glass.
What's wrong? I've worn them in here before.
Sit down, John.
Well, then, here's the thing. Look at Buzz. Buzz has on virtually the same style glasses. However,
similar.
Buzz is not bald. If you had a ponytail...
Which is a good look for a bald guy.
You could be outside with a kite.
Yes, absolutely.
And attach a key to the kite.
Franklin.
Who's the guy I'm thinking of?
This would be a look. You mean the guy from 1776. The only impression, Rob's the only one that gets that. You're
Mommy
the second.
Dearest, also.
Yeah, he was Louis
B. Mayer. Howard De Silva.
Howard De Silva. That's right. Sit down, John. I'm Ben Franklin of the movie 1776. Joan, we will part as friends.
I'm already sorry.
It's Hollywood royalty.
It's nice there are two people laughing at that joke.
Well, they're the only two.
Only two.
Yes.
Chuck.
John.
I know the Moomy is out this weekend.
The Moomy returns.
The Moomy part two. And what else?
That's it. No one wants to compete with the Moomy this week.
Really, they're all that freaking scared of Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah. Brendan Fraser, the Moomy.
The Moomy.
Because the first one did so well. This one will do $50 million this week.
Oh, because it's got The Rock.
Hey, yeah, that was, right.
That's going to sell some tickets.
That will sell tickets, and WWF fans will be...
All right. And, I'm not going to get into that. I just want to tell you something.
What's wrong with... What's,
no, hold on.
I know.
We got a whole WWF thing going this week. Okay.
Right. We saw in that movie that you're talking about...
Beyond the Mat.
Wasn't fake.
I don't think it was either.
No.
Mike saw the movie.
No,
it
wasn't fake.
Still thinks it was fake.
No.
Mick Foley, Mankind, coming on the show next week.
Good. In person or on the phone?
On the phone.
Okay. He can be brave.
On the phone. He's coming on to the promo his new book, but Charlie has also prepped him and told him that.
Good.
I don't think Charlie said names yet.
Mm-hmm.
He said Don and Mike both saw the movie.
Right.
Beyond the Mat. One of them thinks your injury was fake.
Mm-hmm.
One of them thinks it was real.
Fake.
Right. Well, I'm with you, Charlie. I think it was real 150%.
And I don't think that it was what I think you claimed, that he was getting hit with a chair, then he bent over and cut himself.
No, I don't think so. I think it might not be real blood.
It's real blood. Wow.
It's real.
It's real.
I don't...
Think wrestling itself
so.
Is real.
The whole wrestling game is predicated on deception of physical violence.
It's real.
In Beyond the Mat, you see the meeting before the match where they're announcing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Where the Rock
choreographing
says,
it.
Right, I'm going to beat you, Charlie. Don't you agree that the Rock, in this instance, went a bit too far?
He said that since, yes, it wasn't meant to go as bad as it did. They got like a dozen straight chair shots. Mike, let's get a chair right now.
Why?
We'll hit you with a chair a dozen times, and we'll see how it feels.
I am saying is that...
What are you saying?
That because of the fact that wrestling is predicated upon deceiving people with violence, pretending you are hurt when you're not hurt.
But they...
I am holding out the possibility, and based on seeing the film, which I saw with my own two eyes, that the possibility exists that that blood that covers his face, and then on another scene where his face was also covered completely in blood,
back
that looked remarkably similar as far as injury patterns would go.
Now, Mick
Foley, that he's wearing,
he really got his head cut clean open.
And the real thing
what amounts
Don was
to a mask of blood.
The thing that Don was talking about, too, when they show you in the back them stitching him up.
You don't see a needle going into his flesh.
Mike had an
you see a needle.
Everything.
You see a needle going into his hair. You see this, and you don't see it.
That's right. Let me point out hair together.
Wait a minute. You know movies. When you see all that, it's to me, the editing comes fast and furious.
When you're making a documentary, the idea is not to fake anything that's in a documentary.
Charlie, I got to tell you something. The documentary film game has been faking stuff as long as it's
We're
been
not
in.
Fox and
this,
Alien
and this guy
was
that did
not
the documentary.
Fake.
This guy that did the documentary is a lifelong wrestling fan.
And he showed a lot of stuff about wrestling that was not. Pro wrestling. I don't mean
the Jake Roman
favorite.
The drug addiction and the relationship they had with his daughter. all that stuff. And
listen, all I'm saying is that with the way after I saw it, yeah. I was dying to see it, and I stayed up till like 2 o'clock in the morning when I got back from New York because it happened to be on, and I was so excited when I saw this thing because I wanted, I know we had to, I'd come up with this theory before, and I was really ready to say, hey, it's total BS, and I would have done that if I had had 100% credible evidence that was
Did you see the DVD?
I see. You know what I saw? I saw a lot of blood.
The DVD has an awful lot of extra stuff on it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Mick Foley will be on this show next week.
Okay.
But see, here's the thing. I'm not going to be able to win my point because even if Mick Foley says to you, hey, Mike, that was all real. Oh, you got the DVD, Lisa?
Yeah, a listener called me when we had first started talking about it. He dropped it
I'd
off.
Like to point out one of the biggest wrestling fans that has just come into the studio.
All right, Lisa likes wrestling too.
I love it. A listener dropped this by so that for those of us who haven't seen it before Mick Foley comes on that we can all take it home and watch it. I figure it's not like porn, so we could take turns. Do you want to take home the DVD?
Sure, yeah, I'd love to see that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, my point is next week when Mankind comes on the show, I'm sure even if he says to you, Mike, if he says, Mike, that was real. That was real.
No, if he says it like that, yeah. I mean, I'll probably still have my opinion. If he says something to me, you know, I'm not saying that this is the gospel truth. I'm giving you my opinion. I think it could be fake. I still think it, after seeing the movie, I still think it could be fake.
I think it's real.
You know, the thing is, and one of the things came right at the end of that movie, and it was actually the biggest thing that convinced me that there might be something fishy here. And it was another scene where he was in another outfit, and he was in another match, and he had the exact same blood pattern on his face. It was a head wound, and it came down from his hairline, and his face was covered in a mask of blood.
It's
pretty amazing that he would have the kind of injury that would look, that the results would be identical.
You know why you are an enigma?
Why?
On this show today.
Yes.
You believe Colby from Survivor,
yeah.
Yet you do not believe Mick Foley from the WWF.
And I hate to keep saying, you know, I have to make a final decision, but the Colby, I'm willing also to review the Colby. But I stand by almost, I don't want to say I'm certain of it. I don't want to go that far, but I will tell you that
I am certain
there's
that
a big positive.
It's real.
You've never been uncertain of an opinion in 15 years, but I will tell you right now.
That's what I really, really.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I feel strongly about that.
I know you do, and I wanted to, you know, come back and say, hey, I saw that, and, you know, you do see a gash similar to what you might see in boxing. You see the actual open wound, and I'm saying that.
All that sweat. And
yeah, all the sweat. And then with the big bandage, and it's still, even with seeing that, I think that could have been fudged.
Well,
you know what? If he was here, I would be terrified, but I would also.
But all bets are off.
Probably ask to see a scar.
Since he's on the phone next week, I'm going to flat out tell him I believe it 100%. But
tell him
you
don't.
You,
Don.
That's a brave stance. I appreciate that.
I know.
I admire your courage there. And I will tell him that. I will tell him. I'll do what I always do in those situations. I will say that you are lying through your teeth.
Now don't.
No, I won't. He's a nice guy, and you know what? I'm not 100%. Convinced that the possibility of him cutting himself for real, but I think that,
hey, wrestling, that's what wrestling's all about.
How did he cut himself with big mask on his head?
Guys, how can they go when they go,
did you see he's broken his arm?
When you see the guy,
you're talking
in the guy's chest.
You're talking about the announcers. All I'm asking you is, in this scene in the movie Beyond the Mat, which is a documentary, did you not see The Rock hit Mick Foley while he was handcuffed over the head with a folding chair?
A lot.
Something like
a dozen, 15 times.
Yeah,
in a row.
How many times?
Yeah. And I also know that when you hit somebody with a folding chair, that these guys, when they go to their wrestling schools, they are taught how to get hit with a folding chair.
Hold on. Yeah,
hitting them with folding chairs is part of the training they go through. They learn how to take hits with folding chairs.
How do you take a hit 12 times in a row with a folding chair on the head?
I don't know. I've never been trained to do wrestling.
How do you train that?
But, I mean, I would think also,
how do you train that?
If you were hit that many times with that velocity and nothing was up, I would probably guess there'd be a good chance that you would lose consciousness.
This is also why Mick Foley is not wrestling anymore, because he's like he's lost half of his balance.
I thought you were going to say he's lost half of his blood.
Hold on,
he can't walk straight.
Somebody
can't remember.
Somebody on the phone has a good point about this movie that I wish I would remember to bring up, but I'm not going to steal it from him. Scott, tell Mike. Go ahead.
Scott? Speak into the small end, Scott. Hey, Scott?
Are you dumb?
You dumb MF-er?
I'm stealing them.
All right.
Hello, Scott.
I'm going to tell you.
Speak into the small fan.
If you watch the credits at the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
You know who's behind the movie? Executive producer?
Who?
Ron Howard.
Ron Howard.
Okay, now, you would think that Ron Howard has at least a certain level of credibility.
Legitimacy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's Opie Taylor and everything, but please.
Right. Apollo 13, Ron Howard, Night Shift,
you know,
Splash.
You know, so do you think that Ron Howard would lend his name to a movie that was fake?
I think there's a good chance that maybe Ron Howard wouldn't know about something like that. I'm saying that...
Okay.
The conspiracy grows, Don.
So you're saying that Ron Howard...
You know what amazes me?
Ron Howard has kept it dark about this.
What amazes me, as much as I'm sitting over here saying there's a possibility this is fake, is the absolute... You guys are acting like there's absolutely no chance when wrestling in and of itself is total... Staged violence.
When Mick Foley gets thrown off that metal cage
and lands on the Spanish announce table,
mm-hmm. and he lands on the table, you can't say that that's fake. That the guy,
of course, it's not fake.
The guy's being thrown off.
I mean, the fall pushed up into his nose.
The stunt is completely real.
When he got slammed and the fence gave way, and
I think that maybe was a real accident that happened because they didn't want that to happen.
And he fell straight down off the mat.
That's absolutely real.
He didn't fake that though.
Here's the guy who wants to talk to you about blood patterns.
Okay,
except he just talked. You know, all these douchebags are hanging up now.
Well, you know, but also I think that the cut. Well, I'm not going to say it's a fake cut. It also could have been a self-induced cut. Because hold on a second. Look at old wrestlers, real old wrestlers, like guys like George the Animal Steel. Guys like that, if you look at their forehead is rippled with scar tissue because of the fact that in wrestling matches, they carried razors, straight razors, you know, the old-fashioned kind, and they would open their head up during the match to make their head bleed.
Okay.
Because you know that you bleed more from the head than any other part of your body.
But the black and white TV time.
Handcuffs.
This is in color, too.
Handcuffed behind his back, remember.
What's that?
He has hands handcuffed behind his back.
Right.
While the Rock was beating him with the
chair. Was a small part. This is fun.
Did I see the handcuffs?
Did you see before the match when they were prepping him, and it almost looked like somebody was applying makeup, but you saw a gauze pad.
I think
she was taking a gauze pad up to his hairline, right in the area of where that cut was.
He also addressed it that you have to get yourself mentally into a game where you know you're about to get hit with a chair a few times. And
what does that have to do with the gauze pad?
It has to do with God knows what.
Good argument.
Listen, we're right, We're right.
What's this?
Hello.
You want me to talk like you?
Hello.
Don and
it's real.
Don Mike Show.
Franklin. Hello.
Hi, Don, Mike, and Charlie.
Hi.
Hi. Was it Charlie just said his hands were handcuffed?
I think that's what Charlie said, yeah.
Covered ground.
But there's one other thing. Have you seen the DVD?
No, I haven't. I have it in my hand, though. I'm going to study it all week.
Well, they have the extra where Mick Foley's talking over like a director does.
Yeah.
And he says he would not have done it again for The Rock because The Rock didn't appreciate how he put himself on the line and got cut like that and didn't come say thank you.
See, and I'm sure that Mike is going to say that is just wrestling.
Of course it is.
BS.
I put myself in the line. I risked my life. I was almost killed.
You've seen the movie.
I mean, wrestling, that's what wrestling is.
I believe that, though. I believe that Mick Foley... thought, because you remember when they came off stage, someone said to him, hey, that might have been too violent, and he said, well, that's why we're here. I hope people can appreciate the fact that I took the extra step. I got my head beat in tonight so that these people could get a good show.
And what he was saying was also, that's a real, real good show. And I think that one thing that he would say to you is that, I mean, when I start bleeding, that makes the show a lot better. You know, when he's talking to Vince McMahon, I think about it, and he's saying, hey, I know some people might think we went too far, but I think it was really a good show.
Can't get too far from
and a good show. So, I mean, if it's in your mind that a good show means, hey, if I bleed from the head, I'm saying there's a chance that maybe it was self-induced.
The cut was oh, God damn.
That too. So okay. I got two possibilities here.
Okay. Right.
You know,
one guy shot JFK.
This is wrestling. This is wrestling.
It's wrestling.
This is the wrestling forever has had guys that cut their heads
to draw blood.
Mick Foley did not cut his own head.
Draw blood.
I'm sorry. He did not. You know what? We'll figure it out next week.
Right.
Although, like I said, if he denies it, what are you going to do? You might believe him, you might not believe him, right?
What in God's name would he do but deny it? How would he come in? Mike, you're absolutely right. That cut on my head that you saw in that documentary, I faked it, or it was totally fake blood.
It was self-inflicted.
I mean, he's not going to say anything else. Perhaps, I don't think we'll ever have the answer to what was going on.
Perhaps he'll be able to win you over.
He'd probably be able to win me over if he came in here again.
Because
I'd just wither into a corner. He's a very big, scary guy. He's also a real nice guy.
Yes, a very sweet guy.
He's a great performer.
Gentle giant.
As you saw on the stuff with his family.
Well,
I know how we got on this. Because
The Rock.
The goddamn Rock is in the movie.
It's in this movie.
All right, Charlie, let's talk about
the
movie.
Just one thing I want to read on the back of this. It's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be real. But behind the scenes, it's a whole different story. Now, when I read that, the hype of this movie is, hey, it's real stuff.
Oh, come on.
I think it's a racket, guys.
But it's not.
It's a complete racket.
Listen, I would agree with you that it's a racket. But we had this guy, Mick Foley, in the studio. We looked him in the eye. He was pretty honest.
Very.
I read his book.
Yeah, I mean, but we weren't asking him anything, about those. He was talking
Well,
about.
We'll ask him about this stuff when he comes on the show next week to push the new book,
mm-hmm.
which I'm going to read this weekend.
I am. All right. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. But, I mean, I don't understand why you both seem very incredulous about this, and I can't.
I'm incredulous that you refuse to believe that it's a real cut in the head.
It's not as much a question of refusing to believe that it's real as it is holding out the possibility that something fishy could be going on. That's all it is.
Not a possibility.
Do I hold out the possibility that, yes, could it be a real cut? Perhaps. But I also think this is wrestling. And when I watch the movie with the specific reason to see, hey, is that a fake cut? Because I'd said this to you before I saw the movie. I didn't get 100% clear evidence in my own mind is what I was seeing that it was real.
It was real.
Real?
But you know what? Whenever he's coming on, Tuesday or Wednesday,
it'll all be figured out.
We'll go round and round with him then. Charlie, listen, let's talk about this movie that The Rock is in, The Mummy Returns
with Brendan Fraser and friends. This is a sequel set about 9 or 10 years after the original, in which Brendan Fraser's character, Rick, and his wife, Evie, have a little son, a little precocious son, Alex. They go back where the bad king, Imhotep, has risen out of the dead again. And
Risen.
Thank you. That's my English major. Risen from the dead, where they have to confront him again. Thank you, Rob.
Rob giving you a steady patter of applause back there.
All right, so let's start in on this move. First of all, for those people who are here to see The Rock, you will be sorely disappointed, as The Rock is in the movie for about 5 minutes.
Does The Rock turn into a creature?
At the end, it's a very bad creature. It looks like something out of Sinbad, like an old Harry Harryhausen thing, where it's almost painted. It's a painted-on face.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's painted onto this scorpion thing.
I think it's smart that The Rock is only in the movie for 5 minutes.
But it doesn't establish his character enough, where right now they are filming the sequel to this called The Scorpion King, where they go into The Rock more, but you don't even get enough of his character in this film.
Isn't that good, though? I mean, if you're making a guy big star and he's making the transition.
Because you don't get to know anything about the character he's doing. He's in there for it's like making a movie out of one of these characters that just in any movie for 5 minutes. Who cares? Nobody cares.
He's not in the movie. He's in the movie because he's The Rock.
He's
to see him more because he's gay for The Rock.
he's the insurance policy.
He's agreed. He will get a certain segment of the population
that will go just to see The Rock.
The promotion that the WWF and that
Vince what's McMahon his name, Robbie?
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson fans will go to see him.
Yes, they will.
The Rock is Dwayne Johnson.
Yes,
that's his real name.
Right.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Not today.
All right. So I think we know the plot of the movie is that Brendan Fraser and his wife have a kid. Somehow the mummy comes back. The swarm of bees, they come back.
The swarm of bees.
Well, isn't that something that happened in the last Mummy movie?
I thought it was more scarabs, the little beetle type.
Well, whatever. They open up the windows and...
you.
You know, the one thing about The Last Mummy, when I watched it, though, the computer-generated effects were, it seems like they've made enough progress where we really don't have to see that you know, floating Mountain Dew bottle again.
You get an awful lot of the same.
Listerine bottle.
You get an awful lot of the same in this movie. I also think they made a very big error. The same way the second Indiana Jones made an error with Short Round, the little kid. Who is just there for comic relief? The same thing here. This little kid is
all right. The little Chinese kid, right?
This kid is just here to laugh at and to offer the little cute lines here and there. Overall, this movie is not nearly as good as the first one. I didn't like the first one very much, and so I hated this one even more.
All right. So, how many porcelain dolls do you give it? One doll.
Wow.
For the Mummy Returns.
The Mummy Returns.
But you do predict that the Mummy will be the number one.
Oh, it'll be huge.
All right.
This week,
Charlie.
The movie's huge.
I know that on occasion you enjoy speaking about an eatery in the area.
That's correct.
A little ad-lib comment here by Charlie Stossel.
Well, this week and for the foreseeable future, I'm brought to you by Coco Loco.
Oh, this is an actual sponsor.
Oh,
this is not an ad-lib.
Can you possibly say that with a Baltimore accent?
Coco Loco. Coco Loco invites you to their Fiesta Happy Hour, huns.
Okay.
From 4 until 7 every Thursday and Friday evenings, featuring drink specials, a free food buffet. Oh, my goodness. It's the best place in town. Give them a call, 202-289-2626.
It's the best place in town. Was that an ad lib or is that on your coffee?
That's on my coffee here.
Of course
the best
is.
Thing is their prices haven't risen.
Thank you, Rob.
They really put that on your coffee?
No, I just ad libbed.
Coco Loco, the best place in town.
The best place in town. All right. 202-289-2626.
I said that.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes, I did.
All right. My apologies.
Okay.
All right. Get out of here. Thank
you, guys. Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye. See you.
See you later, Mick Foley.
Hey, Charlie, where is one
on Mick Foley?
Right. Me and you, Don.
Right. Together. Brothers in arms.
I'm scared, though, if you ever get one of those guys in there. Because, I mean, now from now on, whenever we have the big guys come in here, the wrestlers.
The word is out.
Especially got like that Diamond Dallas Page. You just look like a mean guy, you know,
right.
If you really want to
be. That's the first thing I'm going to do.
You're going to point at me and say, he thinks the whole thing's fake.
Mike doesn't think Mick Foley's real. Mike thinks it's fake.
Like that Undertaker? Remember when we had him on the show?
The Undertaker is the dude who threw Mick Foley either off the cage or through the cage.
That's pretty intense stuff.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
I'm glad he's still alive.
It wasn't fake when The Undertaker picked me up and put me over his head when I was 70 pounds heavier either.
Right, that's right. So you're lining up also with the believers?
So I don't know. I just know they're strong as piss.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm all alone out here. I don't have any support.
No, hold on, Buzz. How do you weigh in on the Mick Foley issue?
Big surprise. I tend to believe the documentary. I tend to think it was real.
Okay.
All right. So
I've been here before.
You're on the island.
You know?
I'm with you, Mike. It's all fair.
No. I want you to make your own decision.
Well, I'll borrow that on Monday, and I'll let you.
Yeah, watch it. Watch it and go home. And
over the
why don't you look at it, and then let us know what you think. So go home, watch it, and then you can come in.
And I'll watch the extras.
And be on the good island. Be on the right island.
Yeah.
877-365-3636.
Very good.
That's the phone number. We'll take the 100th caller now to play for 500 now. Play for 500 bucks with the secret sound. Call Lisa, be the 100th caller.
Oh, sorry, I'm opening up my vein.
Right.
I'm cutting my forehead right now.
All right, because it's so fake.
Right.
Because it's so fake. God damn, that gets me mad you don't believe that.
Why does it get you mad? I don't want to make you mad.
Because it's so obviously real.
Ah, okay.
Obviously it's real.
All right, then I agree with you. It's real.
No, see, now you're patronizing. Stand up for what you believe in. You think it's fake, more power to you.
I don't like to do that.
It'll make it a good fight on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever Mankind's coming on the show.
Now, I've changed my mind. It's all real.
Oh, come on. Knock it off. Be the 100th caller right now. Good luck.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show. Another Don and Mike Las Vegas style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. Here's our staff announcer to tell you more.
Hi, I'm Pete Johnson. You may know me as the wacky engineer from the Don and Mike show. Do you like breath? How about some nice, fresh cooter? Would you get a flash looking at some gash and join Don and Mike in their Las Vegas style show? The raunchy fun happens Friday, May 11th at the Fable State Theater in Portland, Maine. You gotta be 21 to get in. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Like DNA, like D&B, come to the show. Condoms optional. For the Don and Mike Show, I'm Pete Johnson.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas Style Show.
Now go F yourself.
Don't miss the kings of Cunningpalooza, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Bella.
Hey, if you want to see what Pete Johnson looks like,
a good-looking man he is, because God knows he's gotten all kinds of play on the show this week.
Right.
Pickle the Duke, useless bitch.
There he is. You can go to WNEW.com.
Go F yourself, douchebag.
Right.
Your pussy smells like garbage.
And if you go to the Don and Mike page on WNEW.com, it's a giant picture of Pete.
Eat my snot, you hemorrhoid.
There he is. And eventually what we want to do is put a little sound thing in there so you can click on Pete's picture.
And he'll say something mean to you.
Yes, you'll hear him say stuff like...
Fight. My left nipple, ass wipe.
Or this one, which is the all-time favorite.
Go, Bob, on my knob, ass munch.
So if you want to see Pete, go to WNEW.com,
right,
our New York station website, and click on the icon for the Don and Mike Show. Now, just ahead of call 100, I don't want to spend a minute, because we just played a commercial for the Las Vegas Style Show, which is a week from tonight in Portland, Maine.
Right. Yes.
We did a show a couple of months ago in Fredneck, Maryland, and you might remember that the people from the local whatever it is, we've got our heads up our ass board, were there, and they were upset. They already had a vendetta against this club.
Yeah, there was a history with the club, I guess.
Exhale. They didn't like the club, and they came in and they put real demands on us as far as what could and could not be done. That's the show where we ended up actually taking giant black duct tape,
right,
and duct taping over girls' breasts.
Yes, we did.
Right. So that no nipple could be shown, and the girls were wearing underpants. And then
you were with the guy that ran the joint for a good long time. You know, going over the instructions of how to play it, and we did everything that was required.
Now, if you were to read the Frederick News Post today, the headline says "Sex Show Costs Exhale Liquor License." The Frederick County Liquor Board on Thursday revoked the license of Exhale for permitting a March 6th sex show by radio shock jocks in which patrons of the nightclub exposed themselves. Not only is that 100% wrong.
That is completely untrue.
Why? You should also know that Club Exhale in Frederick is open for business.
Good.
They are appealing this action.
Right. Good.
They do have a judge who believes in the First Amendment.
And if the if the powers that be here that they're giving them the hard time are the same people with the mindset of who wrote that article, they got their facts wrong. That did not happen. And that's extremely important to note that we went along with every rule and restriction as we always do.
Let me see. The three-member local liquor board. Okay, three members. Mm-hmm. Three people.
Right.
Great. Voted unanimously to revoke the license, expressing shock. Let me find my spot. Shock and outrage at what they termed were sex acts by fans of the radio DJs.
Wrong again.
The lawyer for the club says she's appalled. It's unconstitutional. The liquor board is holding Exhale owner Stephen Walker responsible for the actions of his patrons. No other liquor commission has done this. This is not Iran. This is the United States. The club hired only the radio DJs. The others were members of the audience. They were not entertainers.
Right.
The commissioner, one of the jerks who voted against the place, says whether they were paid or not, it was entertainment. Oh, no, I take it back. I called him a jerk. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What this guy is saying is whether they were paid or not, it was entertainment. It's impossible to have a show with just two people. Or no, I guess he is a jerk.
I don't know. You know what? Tell. You know, the fact, there's one, the incontrovertible fact here is the fact that we went along with what they want. These people were covered up with duct tape, and that's what we were told to do.
Now,
that's what we did. And what they're saying about sex show, that's not true.
It says, the liquor board said Exhale allowed women to bare their breasts,
no,
touch each other's breasts, that did not happen, and appear in thongs, scanty underwear similar to bikini briefs.
Yeah.
Now,
well, also seen at the beach. Were they thongs or were they, what does it mean? They were covered up.
Right.
What are you saying no about, Rob?
They required them to wear boxer shorts.
Right.
Remember?
Right. Good memory.
So thongs are impossible.
We've had thongs at certain shows, but I'll tell you, they were supposed to wear boxers.
They have to wear boxers.
They had the boxers tied up like diapers.
Now, so we said, you know, we'll go along with it.
The board said the club also allowed clothed men and women to simulate intercourse on stage.
No, that doesn't happen.
And permitted members of the audience to wear simulated breasts and genitals. What? This is all made up crap.
It is.
Yeah, you know, and with that and said, if somebody wants to bring something in, I mean, why not?
Now listen to this. The liquor board members were also upset by the internet site hosted by Exhale, where they found employees had improperly, according to Frederick Liquor County regulations, exposed breasts and genitals. What the hell, whatever this club puts on their website, what does that have to do with it?
I don't know. It sounds to me like this place is really getting persecuted, and that's unfortunate.
Now, let me see. Incidents of exposure at the nightclub March 6 occurred during a Family Feud parody in which members of the audience removed articles of clothing when they answered incorrectly.
That's what we do.
James McClellan, liquor board chairman, said he should have told Mr. Walker, that's the guy who owns the club, he should have asked members of the audience what underwear they were wearing before allowing them to participate in the parody, because thongs are illegal in Frederick County bars. Ms. Powell, the club's lawyers, said the same stage show was held without complaint last year at a Hagerstown nightclub.
That's true.
No other board in Maryland has held the license owner responsible for nudity by a patron or simulated nudity by a patron. She also said the liquor board has ignored community standards in reaching their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
She quoted magazines such as Vogue, Sports Illustrated, Cosmopolitan that reveal as much and more. She said the commission had no right to extend itself by judging the website used by the club.
You know, the important thing here when you're talking about an issue like this also is you're talking about people that paid to come in. They didn't pay, they got in for free, but they chose to come into a show where it's adults only, and they were there because they know what show we do. And you know, I don't understand. And so when you compare, I mean, I know she's trying to compare it to magazines and things like that.
Now, let me just, I don't want to spend the whole show on this, but I just want to get down to the what they're saying, the facts are that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A City of Frederick Code Management Inspector and three Frederick police officers offered detailed instances of partial nudity during the show.
I mean, if you consider a duct tape breast to be partial nudity, that's true.
Please listen.
Okay.
Liquor board inspector Leo Boyle testified a woman weighing about 325 pounds appeared on stage with exposed breasts except for pasties covering the nipple area. Well, if the nipple area is covered, the breasts technically are not exposed.
Yeah. That's what we were told. But this is what we were told we had to do.
And then he says he told the owner of Exhale that these pasties were insufficient. And Mr. Walker had the nipple area of all subsequent show participants covered with black tape. Mr. Boyle also said female audience members stripped down to thong underwear and bare breasts with black tape over the nipple area during the strip Family Feud game.
I think that's what you were told was
yes,
the dress code. Then when they came back, I think, for the underwear fashion show, they were wearing the boxers that were tied up. I remember that.
Two male participants appeared in thong underwear during the game show parody.
I mean, you know, this whole thong issue.
Now, listen to this. Man. This is really going to fry your balls. During an interview. Hi, Charlie.
At one point, we even had to put that same black tape over the anal cleft.
Right.
Of certain contestants because of their
right
their anal was too big.
you're really getting pissed at this. During an intermission, so this would be while we were not on stage. During an intermission, while audience members were dancing, a female patron exposed her breast and buttocks to the crowd.
Do you know how many bars that probably happens in across the country?
All of them. Also during intermission, a woman and a man simulated sex on stage while fully clothed.
What do we have to do with that?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Also during intermission, a man pulled down his boxer shorts to reveal his buttocks cleavage.
All during intermission, but yet we are, you know, we get the headline there.
Liquor board member Charles Klein asked Mr. Boyle if he considered this show
a sex show. He replied, yes.
Wrong.
The police officers gave similar testimony. The code inspector testified, a woman from the audience grabbed the crotch of the opening comic as part of the act. She said, grabbing genitalia, clothed or not, violated ordinances.
Wow.
Exhale's attorney asked if rock star Michael Jackson's famous dance move, in which he grabs his crotch, would be illegal in Frederick. She said, such a dance move would be illegal.
Of course it would.
You know, if you want to play it that way, you can go through with a fine-tooth comb. I mean, you can find laws that are still on the books that make no sense.
Hold on, let me just read it. Descriptions by Sergeant William... Yingling.
William.
let me see. He says, they're asking this police sergeant, would you say this was a sex show? He says, I think it was more of a typical comedic show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Said the sergeant, adding, he regularly witnesses similar entertainment on television.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would call it a sex show.
Well, who is that guy? An honest
person
who really states the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Police Sergeant William A. Yingling Jr.
There, I mean, that's...
Thank you,
that's,
sir.
I'm so glad somebody characterized it the way it should be characterized.
Also, we want to salute Officer Vaughn S. Harper and Officer Thomas Tokars, who all gave similar... remembrances of what happened the night of the show.
Anybody there would know that we went along with every single rule that they had, as we always do. I mean, we really...
You know, when we got in this place, they told us that the liquor board has a hard-on against them.
Right? We had that happen before. There's no problem with that.
And we, you know...
It's a shame that we went along with what they wanted us to do, and they still came down. It seems to me that there was an agenda to do this
sure.
anyway.
Sure, and the bottom line is that even though the headline in the newspaper says, sex show costs Exhale liquor license...
Yeah, there's your headline again, you know... Those yeah. wonderful print people.
Which is wrong.
Sex show sells newspapers.
Frederick News Post, Steve Miller, and George Dorsey, two crack reporters. The truth of the matter is, as we speak right now, Exhale is open for business and serving alcohol.
And appealing this decision. It's on appeal.
Of course they are. It's something called... The First Amendment.
Yeah, and you know, so you can't, what shocker, you can't believe everything you read.
All right, so if you were to read the newspaper today, you would read this, that we went up there and did a terribly obscene sex show, that they've lost their liquor license. In fact, the show we did was not obscene.
Mm-hmm.
It followed every goddamn prudish guideline that they wanted us to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And the place has not lost their license.
Right.
So anyway, Club Exhale is open for business, and
good luck to them doing battle with these folks up there. It sounds like they've got a real tough situation on their hands, and I hope they prevail. I really do.
I would really urge all of our listeners up in Fredneck tonight, go to Exhale and have a drink,
have a good time. Yeah, really, go in there and, you know, and improve the environment, really,
because they're getting screwed. They're getting screwed by the liquor board, and they're getting screwed by the Fleabag newspaper. I can't even get the facts correct.
And give your props to the cops who were right when they said that it's not a sex show.
You know, and we do have so many people in law enforcement that are there because they have to be there when we do these shows. And they say the same thing. I mean, they know that what we're doing first, really, and it's important to make this distinction. I think we will all agree it is a comedy show
first. Comedy, man.
Yes. It is comedy. I mean, you know, when we do our underwear fashion show, let's be honest, we like to see the biggest woman in the house get up there.
And someone should tell the liquor board that they're saying here, when the female audience members strip down to thong underwear with black tape over the nipple, the black tape was the idea of the people from the liquor board.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like the pasties.
They didn't like the pasties.
They made us put black tape over the girl's nipple area.
And then nailed the club anyway.
Yeah.
There have been many shows where the management and the ownership of the club has not communicated to us what they required. I don't think I've been at many shows where the owner was more, you know, going along with all of the different rules and restrictions, and he was doing his very, very best. It really sucks when a guy that is that concerned about adhering to all the community laws and all the liquor board restrictions...
He still gets nailed.
Yeah. He still gets nailed. I mean, it's a no-win. It was a no-win for him. They were waiting for an excuse.
And you know what else? Take us out of it in the show that we did. The liquor board members were upset by the internet site
hosted by the club, where they found employees had improperly, according to liquor regulations, exposed breasts and genitals.
Oh, you know, it's a bar with grown-ups. I'm sorry. You're going out to certain places, and a person flashes you on a dance floor. It's going to happen.
You know, and hello, people in the Frederick Liquor Board.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your fine city, okay? It's not an outstanding city. I mean, if you want to clean up Frederick, why don't you walk 100 yards to the left of Club Exhale and start there?
Right.
The town's a freaking armpit. It really is. It's my bunghole. And Club Exhale is one of the nice parts about this godforsaken, crack-riddled, whore-living community known as Frederick.
Where people want to go in and have a, you know, a cocktail to unwind.
Right.
Yeah.
And a laugh.
To deal with living in Frederick.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Unbelievable
that this still exists.
Yes. And that's the story today from the Frederick News Post.
Unbelievable they still exist.
Because they get the facts right.
When we go out and do these shows, ladies and gentlemen, we want to have a good time.
And laugh.
We do. We laugh our asses off. We've never had a Las Vegas-style show where people weren't laughing their asses off. That's what it's all about. That's what it's always been about.
Well, anyway, we feel bad for Club XL. I know that we glossed over this earlier in the show, but when I actually read the article in the newspaper, I really got pissed reading this, thinking they're being railroaded.
They're doing a nice impression of the Washington Post there.
Yeah.
Real nice impression.
Small market impression of the Washington Post, except what they're doing is they're not just taking us to task, and who cares what they write about us?
Right. Yeah, but when you know, when distortions of the truth go hand in hand with people that are in positions of authority and distorting the truth, it results in you know, people trying to make a buck, make a living, running a nightclub, and he gets screwed like this. A guy that was backstage with us and specifically sitting there with you, remember how concerned he was?
Yes.
Doing things on the up and up, and they changed it on him like 20 different times, the poor guy.
And part of the reason they want to take this place's liquor license away is a guy grabbed his crotch.
During intermission.
Just stupid.
Yeah. You play music in any club anywhere, and people are going to have a couple of cocktails and do something like that. I mean, you try to police that.
You're construction guys with an itch, you're going
to
do that.
So she says to him, and this is a good question by the lawyer, if Michael Jackson came here, would he be in trouble? Yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Listen, you know, you go on the street of Frederick right now, I guarantee there are homeless people, I am not kidding, taking a dump on the street of Frederick.
I would argue, you know, and I'm sure they've got a good lawyer. I'm
loaded with problems.
I'm sure they've got a good lawyer, but
start here.
As opposed to going to Michael Jackson and using that, I would, because he's an entertainer up on stage,
right.
I would make the argument that you cannot expect a bar owner to control the behavior of every person that walks through his door.
No, that's
and you have absolutely no control over it if somebody wants to lift their shirt up or grab their crotch. That should not be the responsibility of the bar owner.
But the liquor board had a hard-on against this place, and they thought this would be their opportunity to nail them. So again, the message, without beating this to the ground, but you got to know this, especially if you live in Frederick, says in the paper, sex show costs Exhale liquor license.
Why?
The truth is, wasn't a sex show.
And the cop, who testified as such, that it wasn't a sex show.
And most importantly, and we want to get this out, Club Exhale is open for business, and they are serving alcohol. They are appealing this BS, whatever this is, this hearing result of the liquor board.
Go up there. If you're in the area, go up there. Give them a record night tonight.
Support.
Give them a record night. Go have a great time. It's a nice place.
Go have some Grey Goose.
Right.
And while you're at it,
yeah, drink the top rail stuff.
Feel yourself up. Put your thumb up your ass.
Now, you're not helping them.
Diddle yourself.
You're not helping them.
No, all right, don't do that.
Okay, don't do that at all.
Do that in your car.
Do it in your car on the way home.
And then go in and have the
sit
drink.
On your own thumb on the way home.
Now, call 100. Can we break? Yeah, we should break. Then we'll come right back. Please, thank you for being patient with us, but we wanted to make sure we got that message out.
Very good.
About Club Exhale. We'll break. We'll come right back. Caller 100 right after this.
Number one, Arbitron Link, the Don and Mike Show.
Gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
with a reminder not to say yes, yes to the no, no.
Right,
the
right.
Don and Mike Show.
Is Rory's mother still here?
Yes, she's here.
She was bringing her in to say hello and also to let Frieda know why I smell the way I do.
She's wearing quite a bit of perfume.
Do you remember
her body spray, her body splash?
A long time ago on the show, we had the oldest intern we've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Roy's mother. You remember her? Her name is Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Just like our new girl is named Lisa. Right.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Hello, former employee Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. How is your son, Roy?
He's doing very well.
He's doing very well. When you were our intern, how old were you when you were the intern?
God.
Come on, how old?
29.
29. One of the oldest interns.
One of the oldest interns we've ever had.
Very attractive,
like,
though.
Oldest?
What? We need you to step up close. Remember in the old days when you used to have to step up close to the microphone?
I remember that.
What?
Do I look like one of the oldest? Be nice.
No. You're one of the best looking interns we ever had.
You still look hot. And who's your friend?
Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi,
come on, say something.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Okay, you guys are so good. Don, you're so good at guessing what people look like. Okay, tell me who she looks like.
Laura Dern.
There you go. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, can we see her breasts now? No, you know, it was worth a shot. Hey, sorry.
Right, well, listen. Nice seeing you, Roy's mom.
Nice seeing you, too. Can I ask a small favor? She really loves you guys, and she has a camera, and she really wants to take a picture with you guys. Can I please?
Sure.
Of course.
Thank you.
Sure. Who's got on all the perfume, though?
I used to wear it here, too.
We remember. What is it?
Egyptian musk.
Egyptian musk.
You can only get it, you can only get it. It's like $2 for a half ounce, and it lasts for years and years, and I get it off the internet.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's
fantastic.
The only stuff I've ever worn.
Well, the whole building smells like it now.
Let's take the picture. Let's take the picture.
Put the camera.
Okay. I wanted to bring the girls in, because tonight when I get home, I'm going to smell like girl.
Hey, let me ask you about your friend there. Are they real?
Yes, those are real.
Really?
She's very nice, aren't they? She's got great legs, too.
Mm-hmm.
She has really nice legs.
Is she your lover?
Not right now.
Was she in the past?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Was she really?
Tell me, I'm joking. I'm joking. I swear I'm joking. She's a good friend of mine.
Have you ever fantasized about having sex with her?
I always have fantasized about that.
Wow. Fascinating.
She's going to kill me when I leave.
All right, where do you want to have this picture? You want me to come around over there?
Yeah, please. I remember we never used to call Lisa. We'd call her Roy's mom.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I started hanging out with her, Roy Perry, you know, the father of my kid, he was her best friend. Her best friend was saying, you know, Roy's mom, that's so weird. There's some girl on Don and Mike named Roy's mom. There's not that many kids named Roy's mom. And then they said, oh, that's Lisa. So it tripped her out. But
Mike, is that you touching me?
It was Tamara.
No, it was Mike. I know. Yeah. I know his gentle touch.
I don't get a chance to do this very often.
Okay.
I don't get a chance. You know, I just want everyone to know, it's quite a treat when I get to come over on this side of the board where Don works, pushing all the buttons, because when you talk, you can see the lights go up and down.
Okay, here we go.
Who wants some?
Okay. Say perfume.
One, two. Does it smell terrible?
No, it smells fantastic.
Strong,
okay.
Though.
Strong. Mm-hmm. Strong like bull.
Okay,
perfume.
Okay, one,
perfume.
Three.
Roy's mom.
Okay. I want one.
All right.
Oh, of course.
Bring Roy's mother over here.
Wow.
All right. Hi, Roy's mother.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay.
Here we are.
This is like whenever we've had a picture taken or been on TV. You're pushing me out the goddamn window.
I'm not pushing you out the goddamn window.
Ready? Yep. All right.
Beautiful.
Okay. Thank you, Roy's mom.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Lisa. Bye-bye.
You guys are great.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to smell like girl tonight. It's legit, though.
Mike, would you stop? Could you stop touching me? Weebo.
Bye, thank you, guys.
Bye, Roy's mom.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye-bye. See, sometimes not all of our interns hate us. Some of them actually come back to say hello after they've left.
Wow.
Bye.
It's nice when people come.
Bye.
Back to visit.
Especially when it's Lisa.
Yes. You like Lisa. That's right. You always had the steaming undies for Lisa.
Sure, yeah, love Lisa. You wanted her real bad.
Mm-hmm. I do. I did.
When's Christine coming by?
Soon.
Good old Christine Kerner.
Soon and for the rest of your life.
You know, every once in a while, Roy Hill will walk in and just drop that on us. He'll go, Christine says hello.
Yeah.
I would go, really? Yeah. Because everybody jumped to attention. Really? You talked to Christine?
Right.
Yeah.
You got any gum?
Yeah. He just tosses it in there. Oh, Lisa, thank you, Lisa. Is Lisa making out with you, Bob?
Yes, I got a bunch of kisses.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you have an open marriage.
Mm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mm. I am caller 100.
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name?
I'm Walter from Bakersfield.
Walter, call 100, and Walt, you've won the Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss the Sopranos Sunday night at 9, only on HBO. Soundtrack in stores now. You know, I will say this for Roy's mom, and I said this when she was our intern. For having squeezed out a child, she looks pretty goddamn
still
good.
Looks good. Still great. Manages to look stunning.
Mm-hmm. Still good.
Right.
Trey Effable.
Very
strong.
I said very strong. We're all just mumbling nice things about Lisa.
Yes, we are. You could go a little easy on the perfume there. Just a little easy on it.
Yeah, just a dollop.
Just a sessel.
She said that 2 ounces lasts for like 2 years. Maybe spread it out to a 5 year. Just maybe six.
Absolutely.
Take a little cash.
You're going to play for $500 right now with the secret sound. Are you ready?
You bet.
I'm going to play you a common everyday sound. Identify it. Win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
John Cougar Mellencamp.
Because you're keeping it female.
I can if you wish.
I thought this was the all-female week.
Liza Minnelli.
We wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. The sound of Roy's mom opening the canister of perfume. If we do give away the money this time, it's courtesy of Main Street Title.
These little towers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
For $500, what is that sound?
Would it be a cell phone being plugged into a charger?
Could you please repeat that?
A cell phone being plugged into a charger.
You're an awful actor, Rob.
Stop it, both of you.
I was trying to get Mike going. I turned around and looked at Rob, and Rob gave me a big, I don't know.
I was laughing. Yeah. Lightheaded from all the sentences.
No. Absolutely not. But thank you. Don't forget that every guest is
a clue for you.
A clue for you, okay?
You got it.
All right, thanks, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening.
Go fist yourself, pimple ass.
Oh, it's already too rough.
Kiss my left ball, dimwit.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Tickle the Duke, useless prick.
That's our friend Pete Johnson that's giving you some messages.
Hi, Pete.
Eat
how
my
you doing?
Snot, you hemorrhoid.
Yeah, I know.
Open wide and swallow my spunk.
Never mind. Every time that I play the tape, the guy would talk.
Pedro Johnson.
Every time. All right, thanks, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Smell my hog.
Okay, that's it. Just smell my hog.
I thought there was something after that, I guess.
No, I guess not. It's just a...
Smell my hog, queer bait.
There it is.
Best part.
Queer bait. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lake, the Don and Mike Show.
This is a perfect chance to get you kids some nice church shoes. What do we need church shoes for? Jesus wore sandals.
Well, maybe if he had better arch support, they wouldn't have caught him.
Always remember, WWDAMD, the Don and Mike Show.
What would Don and Mike do next? Friday, a week from today, we'll be in Portland, Maine, doing the Las Vegas-style show. Live broadcast from our radio station there, WZAN, 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, all right.
We'll be in Ocean City, Maryland, doing a live show from the studios of 96 Rock. Then a Las Vegas-style show at Ocean City next Friday night. Listen, next week we're having a talent show. Big talent show. What would you do show? Giving away LASIK surgery for both of your eyes from Witten Laser Eye Associates. The one that did yours. Yeah, Dr. Witten, he's great. They don't want to say this in the commercial, but I'll tell you, he did my eyes, he did Tiger Woods' eyes.
Don, he did the world's number one golfer's eyes.
So get this guy to do your eyes. My guy, Dr. Witten.
Yeah.
Laser Eye Associates, the masters of laser eye surgery. Call 1-800-626-LASER to arrange a free in-office eye consultation. And unlike some of the others, Dr. Witten charges about $5,000 for the surgery.
Okay.
So you know that it's a good one, and we're giving that away next Thursday on the show. Now time for a... Friday, Thursday.
Hey. It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me.
No.
It's time for Don and Mike to play low budget Jeopardy.
I want to have a lot of reverence when I welcome in a man who is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Highly appropriate. We were just in New York this week up at NEW. We ate at Mickey Mantle's restaurant.
Right.
The stupid Billy Crystal movie, 61, was just on TV. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Yogi Berra. Hi, Yogi.
Good.
Hi, Yogi.
Hi, Don. Good to be back on the show. How you doing?
It's been a long time.
I've been out, you know, doing my commercial pitch stuff for the sponsors that I got, you know?
Yeah.
Ruffles and Averages. That's great, ma'am. Good to be. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
You know, I made a career out of being the dumb spokes guy.
But you're not really the dumb spokes guy, right?
Yeah.
You are.
I'm pretty dumb.
You are.
I'm pretty dumb. I'm one of the dumbest guys you'll ever see, but I'm a little happy about coming on this show, because this show is good. It's good radio. That's it. Listen to Don and Mike. You won't forget them.
Now, what about...
I made that up.
What?
I made that slogan up. I do slogans for lots of people.
Make a slogan up for Buzz. Buzz does the news on our show.
Yeah, okay. Hey, look at Buzz. It's the news, man.
Yeah, I like that, Yogi. Thank you.
Yeah, how about this one? Buzz, what's his last name?
Burbank.
Buzz Banker. Buzz is the newsiest. Because he's got the news for yous.
How about do one that involves weed?
Weed?
He likes weed.
What's weed?
You know, ganja.
Ganja?
He does.
Wacky tobacco.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mary Jane.
Are you coming on to me?
No, what the
hell is that crap?
Pot.
Ah, you mean marijuana?
Yeah.
Okay. You want a commercial for that?
Yeah, for Buzz.
That's illegal.
I know. Yes, we're just kidding Buzz about that.
Well, why are you kidding him about that? Is he smoking dope?
Well, he's a hippie.
Hey, don't do drugs. Here's a good one. Just say no.
That's a good one.
Buzz Burbank smokes some weed.
No.
So he's kooky. He's crazy in the head. That's the thing about that, ma'am. Hey, how you been? It's good to see you. You're a big Yogi fan. Hey, the opera ain't over. Well, what do I say?
It ain't over till it's over?
It ain't over till it's over.
What do you think about the Billy Crystal movie, 61?
Oh, that midget fudge packer can kiss my hairy Italian ass.
Oh, Billy Crystal? You don't like Billy Crystal?
He can suck my D.
Wow!
Why didn't he put a movie about Yogi? I was the one with the most personality. I was the catcher. I was the catcher on the, you know, that thing,
the movie?
The movie thing they put on the cable.
On HBO?
Yeah, I was pissed. I don't mind telling you. I got that movie and I said, what the, I can't say the words. You know,
say F?
We talk kind of the language in the days of the Yankees when we were on that team. We had some bad language. And I said to my wife, I said, the guy told me I use letters?
Yes. If you want to say, F-U-C, just say F.
I got to do it slow because it's tough for me to spell. So let me think the thing. I said, I saw that movie and I said, what is that little F? That MF effing guy, that little F, that tiny little stupid F, that weak, skinny-armed F. Doing a movie about the Yankees and they're not featuring me. I'm in the movie, but I should have been, you know, you see Mantle and Maris and all the, you know, and they didn't feature me. I'm the guy that, I did lots of commercials for YooHoo Chocolate Drink.
How come when I watched that stupid The Making of 61?
This looks like a good place for a stick up.
when they did The Making of 61, there was a portion where you're actually sitting in a director's chair with Billy Crystal, and Billy says...
I did that because they asked me to. I do anything they ask me to. If you got something you want to sell, I work all day long, Don, coming up, ma'am, with the slogans that I'm going to use in case they call me to do the thing.
When's the last time you got called to do a commercial?
It's been a while. They don't call, you know, the one, I had one of these little snots that was a director, and he said, hey, Yogi, you gotta talk faster than he's talking on the commercial. And I said, you can kiss my hairy Italian ass, Pipsqueak. Come over here. You know, I'll talk fast. I'll pull my pants down around my ankles, and I'll let you talk fast on my rod.
Oh,
smart ass. Then I tried to, you know, I'm an old guy now. I tried to take a poke at him. I tried to knock his goddamn block off. Little smart ass, little fag coming up to me and telling me what I'm supposed to do. So I keep the list that I have of slogans in case they call. Listen to this. You sunk my battleship.
I don't think they're going to be calling you for that one.
This is one of the new ones I've been working on. You ready?
All right, Yogi.
This is good.
Okay.
Hi, this is Yogi Berra. Waz up? Oh. The Waz. Oh, they said I'm supposed to put a Z sound. Waz up?
Have you seen those commercials?
No.
The Waz up commercials?
No, they just said that's what they say. The guys that the talk, the black guys, right?
Yeah.
The guys that do that, right?
Yeah.
The blacks?
Yeah. Yeah.
The blacks, right?
Yeah.
They're the ones that do that. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like Jackie Robinson.
Now, if I could do, I told my agent, get me a commercial for the Wall Street thing. I can do that.
Are you into Wall Street?
We want your business. We'll earn your trust. Huh? Yeah, pretty good.
Are you into the whole .com thing?
I don't know. What do you mean .com?
Internet. You know, internet
computers.
Trading?
Oh, that's a bunch of crap. We don't have one in the Barra household. No computers. We got a pasta maker, a coffee maker, dishwasher, and a toilet. That's all a person needs to live happy.
How come Billy Crystal paraded you out for the making of 61, and I think you were even down at Mickey Mantle's restaurant the night the movie premiered on HBO, and he's parading you out like you're a great fan of
He's a piece of feces. You don't go, oh, I'll tell you, he's a piece of feces. He comes out and there's corn, peanuts, and my Duke. And I tell you right now, if I had a chance to slap his little green, I'd smack him right there. He used me like some kind of put me in that thing, and I said, hey, Crystal. I called him up. I used his last name when I wanted to make a point.
Yeah.
And I said, Crystal, you son of a bitch, I'll take my fist and ram it right up your ass. You just listen to me, you little jerk. I was part of that Yankee team. There's no Roger Maris or Mitch without Yogi, the Berra. You know, you don't do that. And he said, I can do an impression of him because I do voices.
Oh, yeah. Let me hear your Billy Crystal impression.
Okay, and so he comes back to me, you know, because he's trying to explain to me why I'm not featured more prominently, more
prominently.
Yeah, in the movie. And he comes back and he said, Mr. Berra, you don't understand. And I said, I understand right now that I'm going to get in the cab, come down to your house, wherever you live in Hollywood, and I swear to God, we'll go right there. You and me, he's a tiny guy, son of a bitch. I kick his ass. I wanted to be 61 Yogi.
Now, what about...
That was the idea.
Scenes I saw where he was at the ballpark, and Billy Crystal is wearing the full Yankee uniform.
Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
and Billy Crystal's in the batting cage.
You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it.
And he's actually taking batting practice.
Best of all, it's a Cadillac.
What about Billy Crystal as a ball player?
I think he's just faking it. You know, I tell you, he hit a few balls in the cage.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll kick him right in his crystal balls. I don't mind telling you, he can't hit. He can't play. He don't play. He don't got no way to play the thing. What he does is he flaps his little pipsqueak midget fudge-packing lips, and he just talk. He says, Yogi. Sit down with me. And I said, okay. So he puts me in a chair and sits down with me. And I said, what do you want me to talk about? He said, what about Mickey? And what about Mickey? He played with me. What about Mickey? He said, he said, what about Nigel Maris? I tell you, the truth is, Roger Maris was an ass baron.
Wow. Roger Maris?
That's a lie. I'm lying.
Hey, Yogi.
Ass baron, ass munch is Billy Crystal.
You know what?
He likes fudge. He likes his Whitman samplers. He candies. I don't mind telling you. He's all, I think right now, not that there's anything wrong with that.
What position do you play for the Yankees?
Catch you.
Hey, be proud.
Yeah.
You're catching, not pitching.
There you go. Thank you. I'm proud.
Are you proud?
I'm proud of everything I did.
Let me hear you say that. You're proud to be a catcher, not a pitcher.
You want me to do the slogan?
Yeah.
Okay. We do it like we do commercials.
Yeah. See, this is Yogi Berra. I'm proud.
You got to write it down for me. I'm sorry, I can't do nothing. I tell that with the people they see. I got to write it down. I'm Yogi Berra. Hi, I'm Yogi Berra.
Proud to be catching, not pitching.
Okay. Oh, wait.
Okay. There you go.
There we go. I'm Yogi Berra. Proud to be catching, not pitching.
That's good. You know what that is?
That means I'm a good catcher, that I like being the cat. I like being the catcher. Was that Crystal?
Just walked by the window? No.
That was Crystal. I swear to God. I'm going to get up out of here.
What you just read was a gay reference.
What?
What you just read? Catching, not pitching? That's
Hey, that ain't right. I don't do that.
That's a gay reference.
You poking fun of me?
No.
You poking fun of Yogi Berra?
No, I'm not Yogi.
I'm not too old to come right over that piece of plastic, and I swear to God, I'll step on your neck and I'll pee in that good ear. I don't mind telling you right now, ma'am, would you like some more slogans? Takes off for kids. Hey, that's pretty good, isn't it?
You were mad at George Steinbrenner for how long?
Hey, Yoo-hoo. That's a delicious chocolate drink, ma'am.
How long were you mad at George Steinbrenner before you finally came into the Yankee family?
That Steinbrenner guy's, he's an ass. He's a big sack of meat. I'd like to kick his ass, too. He boycotted me from some of the big functions in the old times days.
Yeah, why did he do that?
He was too busy being Billy Martin's butt boy for a number of years. I don't mind. It's all about that, you know. Anybody I say, he's a butt boy, you know. I tell you right now, do you want to go dancing down at Knuckle Junction? That's what I said to him, and he said, Yogi, we want you to be part of the Yankees family. I said, I don't trust you, you son of a bitch. He threw me out of the stadium. Then he didn't bring me back for a number of years.
How did you make it back to Yankee Stadium then?
I called him when I got desperate. My Yoo-hoo contract ran out and I needed a little extra cash infused. Cash money. Cash infusion.
Cash infusion?
That's the thing. And he said, I welcome you back if you do some promotional work for the Yankees. And I said, I'll do some promotional work, but I grumbled about it. I tell you right now, I grumbled about it all the way down to...
I think most people would like to know, the movie 61 received rave reviews and allegedly maybe the highest rated HBO movie that they've had on in years. Mm-hmm. Really?
I heard his commercial. They're nice because I'm nice.
You.
For Hendrick Honda, I'm Yogi Berra.
It's like a slogan. You worked on the movie. You saw the movie 61.
Wouldn't you really rather have a Buick?
What is your honest opinion of the movie 61?
The movie should feature the guy that made the Yankees who they were, ma'am.
Who's that?
Yogi Berra. Otherwise, you might as well. You know what it is? It's just a bunch of... It's a bunch of queens in a hot tub. I swear to God. I give it 4 brown stars. My brown Catherine Italian butt.
And if Billy Crystal...
I wipe myself with that movie. I wipe myself with him. Crystal, I wipe myself. I'll use Crystal as my toilet paper. I swear to God.
If he's listening...
I'll floss my ass with Crystal.
If he's listening this evening, what is your personal message to Billy Crystal?
Hey, Crystal, come down to the Berra place, okay? I'll put my leg right up inside of your colon. That's what I'll do. And then after I'm done, I'll knock every one of your teeth out individually and keep them on my mantle to look at them every day. Yankee this, Crystal. Midget.
So you don't like Billy Crystal?
He's a son of a bitch. He didn't give me the break that I needed to be. I'm an old man. I'm going to be underground soon.
Really?
With my eyeballs being eaten by worms, and he could have given me a bone. But no, I'll tell you right now, he got caught up in all that crap. And I tell you, I'd love to do a commercial for him someday.
For Billy Crystal?
Sure.
Let me hear it.
Crystal Light. Ain't that his?
No, that's not his.
All right.
That's not his. Yogi?
He can suck my Louis Blow slug.
Louis, Yogi.
Yeah.
Yogi, we have to break here.
I mean, the first time. Tongue him.
What?
Come on. Get on your knees and tongue him right now. What? You want to see him?
Hey, are you mad at me?
I'm mad at everybody. Taste my cleats. Hey, you want to tongue him? My ankles.
Oh, no.
They're bigger than my ears. They're all the way down the ground. I actually keep them in a sock.
Listen, Yogi.
My beanbag's so bad. It drags on the floor when I walk around unless I strap it up with one of my garter belts.
Can you still crouch? Can you still get in the catcher stance?
No.
Why?
Because the balls. They're too low. They're big. I don't mind telling you. I got a third footprint.
Hey, Yogi. Yogi, we'll take the first two calls right now to play Low Budget Jeopardy at 877.
I'm uncomfortable just sitting here.
365-3636.
It's like sitting on a beach ball.
I learned a lot about you today. Learned about you physically.
I can still throw, though. I can throw.
Learned about you physically, mentally, your feelings towards Billy Crystal, George Steinbrenner.
Oh, man, I tell you. Yeah, you know something? I tell you right now, can you still crouch? What kind of question I would ask a guy in his 70s, you ass boil? I swear to God,
hey,
I can't crouch.
This thing.
You see this? This is a football here?
Yeah.
That's my right one.
Oh, your ball?
Yeah, but they hang. They hang low. Way down low near my shoelace.
Okay, Yogi. We're going to play Low Budget Jeopardy with the first two contestants. Yogi Berra, why don't you take us to break?
This is Yogi Berra. You're listening to two guys at the paper says. Two guys who like to suck teas. What's that?
Teats.
Oh, yeah. I used to do that. I still would if you bring them. The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Yogi.
All right. Kiss my ass.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Link, The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting northern voices for southern ears. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, Yogi.
I grabbed the chair.
What? You shite the chair?
I shite the chair. I'm sorry. Got it all over me, ma'am. I got a problem here.
When did that happen?
I'm kind of incontinent. But I'll be okay if you don't mind the smell. I don't. Happens a couple times a week.
Working with Mike, I'm used to the smell.
I'm sure thirsty, though. Could you get me a root beer?
Robbie?
Yes?
Can you get Mr. Berra a root beer?
That works to buy me a... Well, yeah, root beer and cheese. I got it, baby.
Okay, Yogi?
What do you want?
We're ready to play. But you Jeff R.D.
Okay, don't rush me now.
Okay, I'm going as slow as I can.
This is Low Budget Jeff R.D., man. Now entering the studio is the truck driver from Dan George Axe.
Anchorage, Alaska.
Yes.
His name is Neil Hallowell.
Hi, Neil.
How you doing today?
Doing great, thanks.
Now is a construction worker, all right. From Bakersfield, let's say hi to Scott Alvarez.
I bet it's Alvarez.
That's Alvarez.
Hi, Scott.
How you doing, Don and Mike? How you doing, Mr. Barra?
I'm doing all right. I don't speak that language.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now I'm in the studio. He is the host of the Low Budget Jeopardy Alex Quebec Geronimo.
Thank you.
Take it away, Alex.
Thank you, Yogi, and hello, Neil. Hello, Scott.
How are you doing, Radio God?
Guys, listen, don't forget, answer the form of question. Live with my mom wearing clip-on ties. Who by Mr. Guy? Call me Alex. Let's play the game with Ellie Shulu. Quizmaster, and always call him Yogi Berra.
Oh, my balls hurt.
Why?
Fine, I don't know. Just sore. Gotta sit on them all day long. Jesus, I'm breaking into a sweat.
How did Billy Crystal make your balls feel?
Made them feel bigger because I'm going to eat them like a cannoli, I swear to God. When I take care of that midget fudge packer, there ain't going to be enough left to him to grease a wheel.
Did you enjoy Billy Crystal?
What was that? I heard that. Was that a bird?
What was that?
That's me. I just had to probably would call it gang rape my little dog because one's in heat. They're little miniature Dachshunds, so I just probably had to hold it. My male's been trying to get her all night, and he couldn't.
Did he say he was gang raping his dog?
He did.
I almost had to hold the girl down. She kept being fussy.
That's a sick bastard you got on this game. Is these the kind of people call you do shows?
Yeah.
Talking about gang rape?
Gang raping dogs.
I'm scared. That ain't good, ma'am. That's bad stuff right now. That's garbage.
Guys, here are your categories, and they are...
Crappy radio.
Survivor.
Oh, I hate that show.
Searching the web via Yahoo.
Yeah, click, click, click with your plastic.
Celebrity news.
I like celebrities. I like hanging around them.
New on home DVD.
What's that?
VHS.
Huh?
Betamax.
Oh, the TV.
Movies.
The tube.
Movies on tape.
Yeah, I got you. Thank you, Don.
States and capitals.
I'm good at that. I'm great at that.
Okay, give me one more time, guys. They are Survivor. Searching the web. What, you don't like Survivor?
No, I just had to suck some snot into my nose.
Searching the web via Yahoo.
Oh, man.
Celebrity news.
I got breathing troubles.
New on home video DVD. States and capitals.
Oh, my balls.
Let's see, Neil. We will start with you, my friend.
Okay, let's try searching the web on Yahoo for a dollar.
Good luck, Neil.
All right, so what I did was went on the web and did the Yahoo search engine.
Yahoo.
This was the most searched for celebrity last week on Yahoo.
Who is Britney Spears?
That's...
Yeah.
Right, correct.
$1. Why don't you speak English while we're playing this game? Yahoos and the whoop-de-doos. All that crap. Go again there, Neil.
Yahoo for $2.
This was the most searched for Major League sport last week.
What is baseball?
No.
Hey, Scott. It's your chance to steal.
What is the NBA?
NBA, correct.
$2 for Scott. Time for you to Yahoo.
Yahoo for $3.
This was the most searched for drug last week.
Can you say it again? Search.
This was the most searched for drug last week.
What is Viagra?
Right.
$3 for Scott. You're in control, man.
Hey, Yogi, you ever take Viagra?
What the hell? That blue thing that gets you hard?
Yeah.
Not on your life. Don't need none.
Really?
If you ever see these, you'll know why.
Oh, what?
I got a lifetime supply.
Okay.
Lifetime supply of blood. All right, Scott. There's nothing wrong with my tunnel.
Blood in your sack?
It's gone. I got a lifetime supply of blood. In my sack. Doing good. I can prove it, too.
That's okay.
And it's big. Everything down there is big.
That's okay.
I'm like a horse.
Okay.
I swear to God I am. My big Italian ram.
Did you mention that to Crystal?
I told Crystal, I said, you know, if you want, I could show you how big it is. Then you'd put me in your movie more. He wouldn't listen to me. That little pipsqueak. I said, Duke.
Scott?
Yes?
Scott, go again.
New on DVD for $1.
New on home video DVD.
DVD, CIA, FBI.
Stars Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows. I don't...
Hey, Neil, it's your chance to steal with your CIA, FBI crap.
DVDs.
Whatever.
What is...
No, you didn't get it wrong. That's the buzzer. That means they're wrong.
Ladies man.
Ladies man.
The ladies man.
That was Whitey Ford. He could close the deal, man. He'd get the panties off before they even got out of the cab. Hey, Scott. You're in control.
New on DVD for $2.
Hey, who is the biggest homo on the Yankees?
The biggest homo?
Yeah.
Billy Crystal.
No.
Billy Crystal, that's going to be the answer to that. You want me to trash anybody? I'm Crystal.
On the
I'm
real
coming for you, Crystal.
On the real Yankees.
Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio is not homo.
Absolutely. Wow. Whole scam. Marilyn Monroe, a beard. Big beard. Joe D. He liked it.
Okay. New on home video for two. Stars Gwyneth Paltrow and Huey Lewis.
What is Sing to Me?
No. Hey, Neil, how'd you like to steal, man?
I'd like to, but I don't know it.
Ah, don't worry. No one saw this movie. Duets.
Duets. Who knows with all the letters? Scott, you're in the control.
New on DVD for $3.
Stars Matt Damon.
What is... Well,
why don't you put some real stars in, like John Wayne? That was this Matt Damon.
He's dead.
Matt Damon?
Yes. No. John Wayne is dead.
They're all dead, the good ones. Hey, Neil, it's your chance to steal.
Don't know the DVD.
Oh, Yogi, I bet you love this movie. It's called All the Pretty Horses.
Oh, yeah. No surprise with that shirt that you like that. The pretty horses with
shirt.
Your pretty colors. That looks like a dress. Hey, Scott, you're in control, man.
Well, at least I'm not an 80-year-old man still wearing a baseball uniform everywhere.
Hey, if I get this crap off the chair, I'll get up out of it. I'm stinking in the chair.
Celebrity news for $1.
Okay, celebrity news for one. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show, is moving from the WB to this network.
What is Fox?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
It's a hot TV show. Buzz likes it.
Fudgy. Okay, Neil.
Fudgy?
Yeah. Fudgy the whale.
Fudgy.
Neil, your chance to steal.
What is UPN?
Right, UPN Correctamundo.
Hey, smile for the camera. You're on Candid Camera, man. You got a dollar. Select again, Neil.
Celebrity news for $2.
Will Smith signed for this amount of money this week to star in Men in Black 2.
What is $9 million?
No. Hey, Scott, your chance to steal.
What is $20 million?
$20 million, right. Will Smith gets $20 million a film, correct.
But you get two. $2, that is. Scott, you're in control.
Celebrity news for $3.
After Dennis Quaid, after Russell Crowe, this is the lesbian star.
Oh, no.
Seen socially with Meg Ryan.
That's garbage.
Who is... what's her name?
Hey, don't cuss. Don't cuss, you little...
Hey, almost said it.
Hey, Neil, it's hard. Hey, Neil, your chance to steal, man.
Who is Ellen DeGeneres?
No. Look at this. She's with Dennis Quaid. This is with Russell Crowe.
And he's...
Now, no, Meg Ryan is shacking up with Melissa Etheridge.
Ah, that other gay girl.
All these names, they're strangers. Hey, Scott, you're in control.
What's left in categories?
States and Capitals and Survivor.
Let me have Survivor for $1.
Beautiful. She won last night's Survivor 2.
Who is the anorexic girl with big boobs?
Hey, Neil, your chance to steal.
Who is Tina?
Tina, right.
Tina, you know who I like? I like that Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island, right.
She's a piece of ass. I like that mole. I'd like to pick it off. Neil, you're in control.
Survivor for two.
He won last year's Survivor.
Who is...
Come on. Your brain's working slow. You got your head up your ass.
It's snowing.
Hey, Scott, your chance to steal.
Who is Richard? Hatch.
Yes, Richard Hatch. Dick Hatch.
Was that a $3 question?
That was
two.
Two, you're in control there, Scott.
Let's finish out the category for three.
The country that will be the location for the shooting of Survivor 3.
Cambodia.
That was not in the form of a question.
Hey, Neil, your chance to steal.
What is Africa?
Africa, good. Thank God I thought you were going to say, what is Cambodia?
Hey, we got us a horse race. Lots of close game. Okay, Neil, select the last category.
Looks like states and caps for $1.
I know this one.
Do you really? You
bet your ass I do.
It's the capital of the great state of Georgia.
What is Atlanta?
Yeah, that's right. Atlanta? Yes, correct.
Atlanta. Okay, you're in control.
$2.
It is the capital of the great state of Nevada.
What is Reno?
No.
What is Carson City?
$2 for you, Scott. Way to go. I lost my place.
Finish it for $3.
It is the capital of the great state of North Carolina.
Oh. What is Charlotte?
Hey, Neil, your chance to steal. They're going back and forth like a ping-pong ball.
What is Raleigh?
Raleigh-Durham, right.
$3, and that's the end of the first round of the game, man.
Yes, Yogi.
Thanks a lot. It was a yoo-hoo big pleasure. I don't mind telling you.
Now, Yogi, if you don't mind, during the next break, perhaps you could clean yourself up.
Yeah, I got to go stretch my ball.
You could wipe some of the shite off your pants.
I will. I'm doing fine. You take care of yourself in that shirt, that dress.
What's wrong with the shirt I'm wearing?
Wear your dress. You go wear your dresses, you kids.
You know, something tells me this.
Hey, he's got one on, too. You're all wearing your big dresses. You got one on, too? Where's the blocket back there?
Yeah.
That's a man shirt. That's what I should wear. That's a good blue man shirt.
Thank you. It's black.
Not these ladies' things.
Something tells me that these are comments that perhaps our friend Mike would have felt comfortable making 2 or 3 hours ago.
I'll tell you right now, you can both wear your dresses. Don't walk. You better walk out of here together. Beware.
Okay,
somebody
Yogi
might take you from behind.
Yogi, stay there. We'll be back with Final Low Budget Jeopardy right after this.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the Baker Science Building. Great.
Two handsome, stunning faggots, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, so Africa's a continent.
Gee, you were taking a lot of phone calls.
Not a country.
That was trouble.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Don't let them get you down.
Notice none of the other big brains in this room bother to stop and tell me.
I damn straight about that. How the hell would we know that?
Yes, Africa is a continent, not a country.
Right.
That is where the next Survivor will be filmed.
Mike would have told you if he was here.
Uh-huh. Would he really have?
Oh, he would have known that right up. Smart guy, that boy.
Really?
Brilliant. Rhodes Scholar.
Not too smart about wrestling, though.
No, dumbass about wrestling. We agree on that.
Hey,
it's all real.
Scott.
All good.
Scott and Neil, are you guys there?
What's in here?
All right, we're going to play Final Low Budget Jeopardy now.
Time to play for the big money.
Here we go. Big prizes, big money. And your category is spell the star's name.
Oh, I'm good at that.
She's Bridget Jones. She's Nurse Betty. She's Jerry Maguire's girlfriend.
Now you're talking Spanish again.
Simply spell the name Renee Zellweger. In the form of a question, spell the name Renee Zellweger and good luck.
Howdy, folks. All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive my new book, The Biggest Ballsack. The story of Yogi and his nuts. The Biggest Ballsack takes you through all my big moments. From Phil Rizzuto saying, hey, come here, look at those. To George Steinbrenner saying, hey, Yogi, what's sticking out of your shoe? You'll love my book, The Biggest Ballsack. Now back to the Final Low Budget Jeopardy, ma'am.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and
sticking out of your shoe?
Yeah, my balls were. Time when I saw it. What's that bump? My sack.
Who do we want to talk to first here?
You want to go to the little guy, Neil, from Anchor Age.
Okay, Anchorage, Alaska. Neil. Neil, it is the correct spelling of the name Renee Zellweger.
Okay, what is R-E-N-E-E-Z-E-L-L-W-I-G-E-R?
No, I am...
I'm sorry, that sorry knocks you down to zero. You didn't win.
Okay, Scott.
Yes.
If you've got it, you're the winner.
Cool.
Spell it.
What is R-E-N-E-E? Capital Z-E-L-W-I-G-G-E-R.
No, no, no.
Hey,
no money, nobody won. Your boss will be liking it.
Yes, Renee Zellweger.
It is R-E-N-E-E. No money.
E-E-L-L.
Some asses.
W-E-G-E-R. Yeah. Renee Zellweger, not Wigger.
Why'd they spell somebody who's famous?
What, Yogi?
Why don't you spell somebody's famous name? Like Ava Gardner.
Well, Renee Zellweger is a hot actress.
Oh, yeah, hot. Hot in the sun. Not hot on the screen.
It's the type of game Alan Linewan, Ken Stevens, they're going to love this. We gave away no money, but Scott,
yeah.
Neil, please don't go away, man.
Just go away.
Just go away. Here is Yogi Berra to tell you about your gifts. Yogi.
You have won a Pull My Finger Volume 2 CD. Yeah, so funny about that.
Oh, it's a good prize.
To order this CD, visit their website at www.pullmyfinger.com. But wait.
There's more, Yogi.
You have won a Sopranos prize title. Don't miss the Sopranos this Sunday night at 9 p.m. only on HBO. Soundtrack in stores now. Thanks for playing and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys, man. You guys are the coolest.
Have a great weekend and thank you for Yogi.
Oh,
Yogi, where are you going?
He's wandering off.
Yogi, you gotta come back and say goodbye.
I thought it was time.
No, you gotta come back and say goodbye now.
Can you smell dead Billy Crystal? I said it again, I almost stumbled.
So you
use dirty words.
Officially, you don't endorse the Billy Crystal Project 61?
61. 61 times can kiss my ass.
Okay.
My hairy Italian ass.
All right, well, thank you, Yogi. Always great to see you.
Yeah, well,
always remember, never forget. Love Unto Jeopardy is a production of...
Horon Incorporated and is distributed by King World. Goodbye.
Eat my bone. He's angrier than the last time he was here.
Yeah.
He's gone from being really, really dumb
to just filled with rage.
He's really, really mad.
It's all this hype about 61. He wanted credit, I guess. I have no idea why he's so mad.
Very mad.
Go F yourself, douchebag.
There's a lot of that going around lately.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
Let's get to some news and comments.
All right. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
That's me. He made it up.
And the Buzz lead story tonight is?
Tonight, your Survivor scorecard.
Oh, Survivor. Survivor.
Right.
Oh, God, I think you're going to get me all wound up about Colby again.
Colby!
Survivor, stay tuned. I mean,
stay tuned. For news and comments
coming up.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
All right.
That was very...
Yeah, whatever. Professional.
Thank you.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
It's Heat, the Don and Mike Show.
You said at first that we would never part.
No music here for the
day. This drove us by like Texas through my heart.
Sing it, guys.
You're the biggest cowgirl bitch I've ever seen.
That's right.
Into your two-time blue range jeans.
Time for news and comments now with this Buzz Burbank.
Thought of every word from A to Z.
Yeah, here it comes.
But you put the in country.
Buzz's news and comments tonight sponsored by GolfRealm.com.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, keep it online. Keep track of your handicap and playing partners at Golf Realm. GolfRealm.com.
Dirty SOB, you found your niche. You dirty, stinking, rotten ass bitch.
Wow, great song.
Well, you've been about as mean can be.
Okay, one more time.
But you in country.
Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, the finale of Survivor 2 didn't draw as big an audience as the finale of the first series, but it did have twice the audience as Friends and easily won the night's ratings race for CBS. That final hour even beat ER, and that's a first. Nearly 36 million people were watching last night as Tina Wesson won the million. Nearly 52 million people watched when Richard Hatch won the first game. Now, CBS executive Les Moonves says he's thinking about a celebrity edition of Survivor.
Right, great idea, Les.
He says Ray Romano, Kate Hudson, and Kobe Bryant have all expressed interest in playing.
Hey, where's my shaving kit?
And don't forget CBS butt boy Kevin James.
Oh, yeah, he'll be there.
One strike down, one to go. The Hollywood writers say they've reached a tentative agreement in their contract talks with the producers. The Writers Guild of America says groundbreaking improvements were made in the settlement. Now the union's 11,500 members will vote on the deal. Their old contract expired Wednesday and threatened to delay TV and movie production. Now the producers can turn their attention to the actors, who were also expecting a strike when their contract runs out next month.
Here's some tape of those deliberations.
Okay.
Hmm.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
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 No.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then happy.
Yeah.
It can fly. It can fly. U.S. government officials in China say they have inspected that downed Navy spy plane and have found it fit to fly. In spite of all the damage to the plane, both from the collision and from the dismantling.
Hey,
and in spite of the dismantling by these Chinese officials, U.S. officials say it is airworthy.
Yeah, I'd like to be the pilot for the United States Air Force that flies that plane back.
It has no nose cone now.
Right.
I don't know if that's important or not. Apparently not.
Oh, no.
There's some of the negotiations there.
And just one more thing. Chinese officials won't release the plane back to the U.S. But the U.S. says it'll keep trying to convince the Chinese to change their mind. I'm hearing no there. Right. When the well is the writer's talk.
Right.
You won't be hearing about hanging chads or butterfly ballot for the next presidential election, at least not from Florida. State lawmakers there have given final approval to an election reform bill aimed at preventing the kind of mess we saw last November. The new law does away with punch cards, paper ballots, and mechanical levers. Now it goes to the governor, who says he will sign it.
Ah, well, thank you, but that information is absolutely useless.
You'll thank me next election. An update on yesterday's story about McDonald's French fries being cooked in vegetable oil with beef flavoring.
I remember that story, Buzz.
This is a bad French fry covered with all the grease from the fat of a cow.
A lot of people remember. McDonald's is being sued by a man who says the company misled him and everyone else.
He is not being sued by a man. He is being sued by a man who is a Hindu.
When it said that it cooks its fries in pure vegetable oil.
No, they boil cows and make the oil.
If you're like me, you probably figured that story was just a flash in the pan, just another lawsuit probably to be settled out of court.
Right.
But in India, they take this news very seriously.
That's right.
Today, crowds of people attacked the Mickey D's in Bombay.
Tear it down. Throw it down to Golden Arches.
They almost did. They stormed the place.
The Bombays.
Dr. Bombay.
They're the Bombays. Hello, Dr. Bombay.
They stormed the place, smashing furniture and light fixtures. No one got hurt, but the protesters did succeed in driving out all of the customers.
Don't eat burgers.
Ironically, McDonald's only uses the beef flavoring here in the U.S., not at all in India.
Ooh, that's what you get with a vegetarian diet.
They were pretty excited last year over at the Cartoon Network when they'd finally landed the complete collection of Bugs Bunny cartoons. Until last year, the rights to various batches of the toons belonged to different companies, but now they're all back in the Time Warner family. Next month, the Cartoon Network will launch its annual June Bugs promotion, in which it runs every Bugs Bunny cartoon ever made. Well, almost every cartoon.
Oh, why? What are they missing?
This year, you won't see them all, even though they have them all. The company says it's dropping the racially offensive ones, like the one in which Bugs wears blackface a la Al Jolson, or the one in which he calls an Eskimo a big baboon.
Eat my snot, you hemorrhoid.
Or the one in which he distracts a black hunter by rattling a pair of dice. The Bugs cartoons offensive to American Indians were yanked last year. The plan was to show...
How come the only racially offensive Bugs Bunny cartoon we have on tape is the one where he's...
From World War II.
Yeah, Bugs Against the Nips, where he's got the...
We were at war.
He's got the big giant front teeth, and he goes, "Oh, hello, how are you?"
We used to have that one.
And that was even made with the backing of the U.S. government. That was part of our propaganda campaign during the war. Anyway, these other cartoons weren't, obviously.
They'll be on the Spiewak channel.
They'll have to be, because the plan was to show the racially questionable cartoons late at night with disclaimers. Now, that plan is off. The cartoons won't be shown at all. The subject was Spanish. The teacher was a substitute. And one of the students said he was bored. So the sub, 43-year-old Dana Gibson, took off her shirt and continued to teach wearing only a sports bra.
This little girl had knockers!
Good teacher.
Even though it happened in California, school officials thought it was a bit much. It was, after all, a Catholic school.
Critics love Snatch.
Quoting the teacher, "It didn't seem like a big deal. Maybe something's wrong with me."
No, I'm ready to go back.
Yeah, sure.
Teacher's a topless, man.
She takes off the sports bra.
Right, take it off. Isn't that right, Pete?
Peter.
Pete?
Tickle the Duke, useless bitch.
Okay. Call 100 times. Oh, Pete, what do you really want to say to the teacher?
Go, Bob. On my knob, ass munch.
Call 100 times right now. And a prize package. Selected especially for you. The assertive now be the 100th caller at 877-365-3636.
Be like Pete Johnson.
Right.
Oh, we're sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Eat my snot, you hemorrhoid.
Right, we'll be right back. Call 100.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike.
A stellar job today, I might add.
Have you heard? I'm doing my morning show at night.
They love their mamas, Don and Mike.
Now, here is Guy Burnley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura sent a letter of apology to George Steinbrenner. Ventura tells the Yankees owner he's sorry about the behavior of Minnesota Twins fans this week. Governor says he's embarrassed by fans who threw golf balls, hot dogs, and other stuff at Yankees left fielder Chuck Knobloch. Ventura says Minnesotans brought the Wednesday night game, quote, within an eyelash of being forfeited.
You know, didn't Knobloch leave the Twins like 5 years ago?
5 years ago, he abandoned the Twins for a fat contract with the New York Yankees.
They haven't forgiven him.
A lot of Twins have done that, though. You know, they shouldn't single out Chuck Knobloch. You have a long history of Minnesota.
Everybody leaves Minnesota.
Most people leave Minnesota, yeah.
Except Kirby Puckett. And he had to retire. Kirby Effett.
And the union guy.
Not Puckett.
Former pro wrestler says the biggest coward in the world is the person who throws things. Copies of the apology also went to Knobloch and the Yankee manager Joe Torre. Despite his cancer and his addiction and his depression, Daryl Strawberry may be headed for prison. The former Yankee slugger was in court today on parole violation charges. Otherwise, he's been spending his time in a psych ward under house arrest. His psychiatrist told the court that Strawberry has a kind of recurring depression that's very difficult to treat. The Strawberry himself told the judge who will make this decision today, "My brain is broken and it has to be fixed."
Hi, Judge. Listen, I realize I look like an idiot up here in the orange jumpsuit, and I've I know on my way to my last NA meeting, I went and did crack for 5 days, yeah. But I've got a really great explanation. My brain's broke.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, Mr. Strawberry, we're going to send you to the brain fix-it shop. We're going to fix your brain, and you'll be just fine, but you won't be going to jail. Because we're going to send you to the brain repair shop.
Great, thank you. My brain is broken.
It's broken, yeah.
It's on the fritz.
Good news, DS. We should repair that brain with rebuilt parts and save you half the money.
Finally, a couple of elementary school girls in Goodyear, Arizona are in big trouble for the cake they brought to the school carnival.
What cake?
Oh, it looked good enough to eat. It was covered in icing and candy bars.
I like cake.
Officials say somebody could have gotten sick, so the girls have been expelled and charged with conspiracy to assault. According to the police lab, the cake contained dog poop, pond water, and, like you need it, laxatives.
Yeah, baby.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. No! Yes, that's it, we are! No. Yes. Yes, and for a change, we're not going anywhere this week.
I'm going to be at the airport tomorrow. I thought we were leaving.
I mean, at least not this weekend, we're not.
Good.
Yeah, next Friday we go to Portland, Maine.
Right, I'll be there.
Okay. And that means today ends the streak. Buzz, How many consecutive days and nights together have we now spent?
We've been together like a family for 12 days and 12 nights now.
Wow. How will we manage the next 2 days without seeing each other?
Why don't you all come over to the house, spend the weekend at my house, guys?
Okay. I'll be there at 5:30 tomorrow morning. Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't hurt yourself. Love you, free to love you, Bart. Please join Rob Spiewak at the Fairfax Circuit City Sunday 1 to 3 and feel the raw excitement of the NASCAR simulator. Next week, the talent show.
Ooh.
Giving away LASIK surgery for both of your eyes from Witten Laser Eye Associates. 1-800-626-LASER.
Right.
This prize valued at $5,000. We'll give it away on Thursday with our world famous talent show. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I am caller 100.
Right. What's your name?
This is Brian Epping.
Oh, and also thanks for the reminder. Next week on the show, my favorite wrestler and a guy I believe 100% Mankind, Mick Foley.
Yeah, I think it's fixed.
Okay, we'll find out. Mankind coming on the show next week. You want to pull my finger, Volume 2 CD. Order this CD. Visit the website at www.pullmyfinger.com. Thank you for listening.
Great, thanks.
All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for listening. We will see you Monday with the new episode. Thank you, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you, good night, Don.
Thank you, good night, Mike.
Thank you, good night, Don.
And now, Robbie, please throw your Santa Claus hat in the air, just like Sydney. Oops. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Very nice.
You can't fake that.
Yeah.
Very nicely done.
Bob, your head is bleeding.
See you Monday.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.